a single email unearthed from the sprawling Jeffrey Epstein document dumps has sent shockwaves through anyone paying attention. In 2003, investigative journalist Edward J. Epstein, no relation to Jeffrey, but a longtime chronicler of espionage, cover-ups, and institutional deceit, Edward Epstein reached out directly to Ghislaine Maxwell with the casual yet loaded invitation, "Any interest in joining a proposed shadow commission on 9/11? This wasn't some random outreach. The former Harvard professor was floating the idea of an alternative inquiry into the attacks, one presumably free from the constraints and compromises that plagued the official 9/11 commission.
What diminishes the idea of a conspiracy in my mind is not that one can't think of a good reason why one couldn't put a conspiracy together, but it's the passage of time. One has to take that into their reckoning as we covered, you know, decade after decade.
Maxwell's inclusion on the invite list speaks volumes about the overlapping circles of power, influence, and potential blackmail that Epstein's operation allegedly cultivated. Why would a man known for dissecting government whitewashes think the partner of Jeffrey Epstein belonged on such a panel? The official 9/11 Commission report, released in 2004, has long been accused of being a carefully curated exercise in selective truth rather than unvarnished accountability. Glaring omissions like the collapse of the World Trade Center Building 7, ignored Saudi connections to the hijackers, eyewitness accounts of bombs by Barry Jennings in World Trade Center 7.
Now, Barry Jennings, you're on the 8th floor, you work for the city housing department. Explain to me the moment of impact.
Well, me and Mr. Hess, the corporation counsel, were on the 23rd floor. I told him we got to get out of here. We started walking down the stairs. We made it to the 8th floor. Big explosion. Blew us back into the 8th floor. And I turned to Hesh, I said, this is it, we're dead, we're not going to make it out of here.
Entering Building 7 together before the strike on the South Tower at 9:03 a.m., Jennings and Hess were surprised to discover that the office had been abandoned. Receiving a phone call from his superior, Jennings was warned to leave the building immediately. Descending via the stairwell, Jennings and Hess reached the 6th floor before an explosion blew them back up to the 8th floor, trapping them inside the building. After 7 years of investigation, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, NIST, determined that the building had not come down due to explosives or controlled demolition, as many alleged, or due to structural damage from the collapse of the Twin Towers, an explosion in the building's fuel oil systems, or any of the other suggestions that had been put forward and retracted by NIST over the course of its investigation. Instead, NIST spokesman Shyam Sunder insisted that the building had collapsed due to ordinary office fires.
For the first time, we have shown that fire can induce a progressive collapse.
The commission's own co-chairman, Lee H. Hamilton, later admitted significant limitations, including restricted access to classified materials and pressure to produce a unified narrative that avoided rocking too many boats in Washington, D.C.
If it's an act of war and it's hiding things, which everyone on your commission knew that the Pentagon was changing their stories, lying to you, and it's a cover-up of an act of war, and under Article 3, Section 3 of the Constitution, it's treason. So unless we get to the very bottom of it, then we're still talking treason. In this exposition.
This is a longer conversation. I'm not sure you ever get to the bottom of it.
We have to. Or we can't save our country, sir.
I don't think, well, if that's the condition upon which we're going to be saving our country, because the problem is it's a 30-year-old conspiracy.
The report's focus on systematic issues conveniently sidestepped naming names like Larry Silverstein.
I remember getting a call from the fire department commander telling me that they were not sure they were going to be able to contain the fire. I said, you know, we've had such a terrible loss of life. Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. And they made that decision to pull. And then we watched the building collapse.
And the rapid removal of debris before thorough forensic analysis could take place.
I'm also told that military heavy equipment will be brought in, bulldozers, cranes, things of that nature, to go in there as soon as they possibly can.
What ties these threads together is the persistent whisper that 9/11's full story.
I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is Forest Green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. While you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's a new Patriot Silver folding knife from thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
Happy Monday, everyone. Welcome to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. A lot happening over here, and we are happy that you're here with us. A lot happening over the weekend. A lot happening over the weekend. We're going to be diving into on today's show, so buckle up for that one. It's going to be a good one. As many of you guys know, there were more documents unearthed in that Epstein file dump. A lot going on there. Also, a lot of big things happening today in regards to Epstein. As many of you guys know, today, Ghislaine Maxwell is going to be testifying. It's front of a, well, actually, it's a closed door deposition, and it's virtual since she's in prison. She will be doing a virtual deposition today with members of Congress. She'll be meeting amongst those will be obviously the chairman, James Comer, and others. Now, interesting enough, we'll dive into the details in a bit. She's expected to plead the fifth, and I'll get into that in just a few moments. Before we do, I also want to tell you all what we got coming up ahead of the show. First, let's look at the president's agenda, for an example. That's the, probably the best place to start. The president is, he's got a light morning today. Nothing on the agenda for this morning, but in the afternoon, he's expected to have a TV interview at 3 p.m. Eastern time. Then later at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time, there will be a policy meeting that he'll be participating with in. But we got our eyes on a couple of really important topics, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But specifically the UK right now, obviously the Epstein files have imploded for many, specifically those who try to lie and hide their ties to Epstein. Matthew Marsden will be joining us later in the show today in the second hour of the program. Matthew's going to be detailing specifically for us what I think is actually really, really important here, and that's the ramifications for the latest dump, what it means to those in the UK right now, because a lot of people are calling for the Prime Minister in the UK to resign, but the next runner-up for that position, not someone you want, not someone you want. Matthew Mars will be joining us in a little bit to discuss just that. We'll also be discussing the latest, obviously, document dumps, but it's not going to end there. We also have more coming about. Mike Benz actually did a really good interview with Joe Rogan last week, and something very important that I'm going to point out to you as well in that Mike Benz interview, plus Tulsi Gabbard's under attack. As many of you guys know, the deep state operatives do not like Tulsi Gabbard. They don't like the fact that she's digging in for the truth. They don't like the fact that she's going to uncover the election fraud that we all knew was taking place from the very beginning, and they're going after her. There's a lot of fake news reports that are being posted online, a lot of unverified sources, and they're trying to uppercut everything that she's doing over at National Intelligence. I'll bring you the latest on that fight right there, because that's a big one. That's a big one. Also, I mean, you guys all know it, but Democrats are still trying to push back against voter ID. Even though the vast majority of Americans, even Democrats, do support voter ID. The interesting part here is it's so bad that even Democrats have to say that, yeah, we actually don't support the lefties, the far lefties agenda to not have voter ID. We actually agree. It makes sense to have voter ID. So I'll cover that for you as well. There's also a new group of left-wing racists that need to be on your radar because these are just evil human beings. People talking about, you know, how the United States has imported the third world brown people who have specifically Indians and Middle Eastern is what they're alluding to in this soundbite, are going to outbreed us. And most importantly, marry Western women. Plus, there's another Democrat in, I wouldn't even call him a Democrat, I'd call him just a straight up communist in Texas, who obviously caught a lot of people's attention over the weekend. because he too is another racist. But there's a lot there about this individual I don't think most people even know, especially because he is one of those many CCP. I mean, you could just say he's a probably a CCP operative at this point because he's not from this country. He is from China. He was born in China. But we've allowed him to run for office here in the United States. I don't know why we keep doing this to ourselves and been wondering why we have the same results of hateful people in our political sphere. People that hate this country are running for office. We've done it to ourselves. We could get rid of these people pretty quickly, given the fact that they are in line with the communist movement. But for some reason, we just don't do it. We don't do it. Also bring the latest on the MAHA movement. RFK Jr. just recently is discussing how food is literally killing us. And he's detailing specifically how our enemies are looking to do just that. Our adversaries are looking to do just that. Plus, also, Democrats are really worried right now that we're going to become a surveillance state. No, seriously, it's happening. It's happening. They've gone fringe. They're just jumping off the cliff these days. They're worried that ICE is going to be using their photo images, running their biometrics, and they're worried that we are going to become a massive surveillance state. We've been talking about this for years now. They didn't care because it worked towards their advantage, but now they care because it's really going to affect their ICE, their anti-ICE terrorists, and that's the reason why they're pushing back on that front. We'll also be talking about some crazy, crazy stories in regards to Virginia. Virginia is just going downhill rapidly. This is why elections have consequences. Virginia, it's running for the lead blue state right now. I mean, it's pretty, pretty bad in Virginia. We'll tell you about the new push to go after those who dare spew hate speech. Because freedom of speech is a threat to them. And we'll discuss just that. Also, President Trump, there's this fake hoax that's going out there again. And they always do this, right? They're always like, oh, President Trump is a racist. Look, I can't believe he shared this video. Well, President Trump is actually responding to what the claims are all about. Plus, people like Tim Scott. Has South Carolina ever given us a good politician? We'll talk about that in a little bit. I don't think so. Tim Scott fell for it. And he's out here pushing the propaganda. Crybaby. Crybaby. Who's obviously trying to run in 2028. But man, oh man, is this man an embarrassment to himself, now to his alleged wife, and others. We'll dive into that in a little bit. So a lot happening over here. Buckle up. We'll also be taking your calls later in the show as well. So let's kick things off appropriately. First things first, we got to get into the Epstein files, because as many of you guys know, more information. I mean, there's so many documents being dumped online. It's a matter of sifting through it, figuring out what's real, what's fake, what to believe in. InfoWars has just put together a new report, and I wanted you guys all to take a listen to this. This has to do with fascinating ties that might actually show some type of correlation. Take a listen to this in the latest report up on InfoWars.
Early morning at 1:47 a.m., the doorbell camera disconnects. At 2:12 a.m., software detects a person on a camera, but there's no video available. 2:28, Nancy's pacemaker app shows that it was a disconnect from the phone. And at 11:56 a.m., the family checks on Nancy and discovers her missing.
In the shadowy underbelly of elite power plays, the abduction of Nancy Guthrie, mother of NBC's Today Show darling, Savannah Guthrie, screams of something far more sinister than a random crime, snatched from her Tucson home in the dead of night, with blood splatters at the scene and her essentials left behind. The 84-year-old widow's disappearance has law enforcement scrambling.
And it's important that my partners in law enforcement know and understand their roles, because it is very large, complex investigation.
What follows is not an attack on the Guthrie family. They are merely questions regarding overlooked possible connections to the Guthrie family and the rumblings of panic behind the scenes of an elite reeling with the damage compounding due to the recently released Epstein files.
When a group of people who've experienced trauma of this kind come together united against a common enemy. There's a very special bond between us all.
Marika Shartouni, Anushka DeGiorgio, and Rachel K. Benavidez sharing their stories about Epstein for the first time on television.
I think the nature of this kind of abuse means that you're conditioned to be silent, to be isolated, secretive, and shameful.
You're like, I'm just not going to say anything because that's what he told me to do.
Behind the scenes, Savannah's husband, Michael Feldman, isn't just some PR suit. He's a deep state operator with 8 years in the Clinton-Gore White House, serving as Al Gore's traveling chief of staff, and a key congressional liaison for Bill Clinton himself. Begging the question, is this payback from the Clinton machine's endless web of scandals? Feldman's tentacles run deep into the globalist swamp, co-founding the Glover Park Group, a D.C. political consulting powerhouse. This firm pops up in the Epstein files, linking straight to Epstein's network of influence peddlers. The timing is impeccable. Just as the Clintons are hauled before Congress on February 26th and 27th to spill their Epstein ties, this kidnapping erupts. Coincidence or a desperate warning shot from the shadows to keep mouths shut?
According to internal State Department memos, the agency might have called off or intervened in investigation into possibly illegal and inappropriate behavior within its ranks, allegedly to protect jobs and avoid scandals. This concerns the time that Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State.
Good morning, Savannah. You know, there's an old saying in Washington that the cover-up is worse than the crime. But in this case, both parts of it are disturbing. Allegations of prostitution and pedophilia, and allegations that those crimes were somehow covered up or not looked into. So the State Department this morning is having to respond to those claims and those investigations of misconduct by State Department officials, including by an ambassador and security agents attached to then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton.
We've offered flexibility on scheduling. We've tried to accommodate. The response we received was not cooperation, but defiance. Repeated delays, excuses, and obstruction. The Clintons had documented relationships with Epstein and Maxwell, including President Clinton's trips with Epstein and Maxwell, evidenced by numerous photographs, flight log records, wedding invitations, and other materials. We repeatedly informed the Clintons' attorneys that a written statement would not be sufficient. The subpoenas required a deposition.
With Feldman's Glover Park Clinton cleanup crew entangled in this mess, and Nancy Guthrie's fate hanging in the balance, America awakens to the real threat, a cabal where kidnappings, cover-ups, and child exploitation are just business as usual. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Now, as many of you guys know, her mother is still missing. FBI is on board trying to help find her. But again, we don't have any updates into all of that. The case is quite strange. But I thought that was a really great report that we have up right now on Band.video. Definitely check that out, too, because we've done a bunch of incredible reporting on InfoWars.com as well. But let's get into some of the latest in regards to what's happening today. Like I told you, obviously, Ghislaine Maxwell will be giving her deposition. It's a virtual deposition that she's going to be providing the Judiciary Committee with. Now, expect there to be some information uncovered here, but probably not much. And that's because, well, many are expecting Ghislaine Maxwell not to speak. They actually expect her to plead the fifth. That's according to Congressman Ro Khan. As many of you guys know, that's the Democrat in California who's been leading the way in making sure that these Epstein files are made public. Well, he sent over this letter yesterday, or over the weekend, I should say, to James Comer, who is the chairman of that committee. Now, he's outlining the fact that he knows that she's going to invoke her fifth and that she's not going to want to talk about, according to him, of course, not going to want to talk about anything related to Epstein or President Donald Trump. Now, obviously, we've talked about it. We reported on this show. Ghislaine Maxwell is trying to angle herself for a pardon. And that's probably why, if this is true, she would do that. Why would you want to give all this information? And if you're someone in her situation, obviously, she is a human trafficker. She is a, well, human trafficker, allegedly, we should say, because nobody's been arrested. I mean, she's apparently trafficking children, but we don't know to who. Isn't that strange? But here's the problem here. She obviously wants to be freed from prison. And so now she's trying her very best to play her hand in all of this. You could expect that she's not going to be speaking. Why would you speak when the price that you expect the government to pay is your freedom? Your freedom. And we know that's what she's angling for, according to those who have spoken to her attorneys. Now, when it comes to all of this, obviously we'll keep our eye and see when those deposition recordings do drop, because that will be quite the fascinating new document or audio version for me to dive into. But the reality of it is we don't expect much. We heard her interviews with Todd Blanche, and there really wasn't much there. But we are learning more and more from the documents that have been released thus far. And it's really hard to figure out what's real, what's fake. Because after a document gets posted online, I've got to search, and it takes hours, takes days. But we're digging. There's a lot there right now. I want to get into the first document so far. This one dropped yesterday. I think it's insane. This document comes from the Southern District of New York. And the reason why this is so important is because you have to check out the date on this document. Now, what do I mean by that? This is what I mean by that. This, what appears to be a press release drafted up by the Southern District of New York, could be a clerical mistake. But it says for the immediate release on Friday, August 9, 2019. Now, Jeffrey Epstein, according to the records, didn't actually kill himself until the 10th of August. So keep that in mind. This one specifically outlining how they found Jeffrey Epstein dead, saying that he was pronounced dead after he was discovered in his cell, unresponsive. Today's events are disturbing, and we are deeply aware of the potential. Obviously, this hurdle this will cause. Total baloney. But folks, is it just a clerical error? Whoops, I mistakenly thought today was the 9th? Or was this a pre-drafted press release? Again, more questions than answers. And interesting enough, too, this is the email that's getting a lot of people fired up right now. There was an email that was made public, and specifically this email, well, it's interesting because it was sent in 2025, March 17th, 2025. It looks like somebody over at the FBI field office in New York sent out an email in regards to the Epstein files being released. Now, the concerning part in all of this is they're hashing out what should be redacted and what shouldn't be redacted. And specifically in this email, it looks to say that obviously, we all strongly back this, that redaction should include, obviously, the victims in photos, unknown or unidentified with females and males, which is strange, and former U.S. President, Secretary of State, and other celebrities. Ain't that something? Now, we did see that one image, and they didn't cover up Bill Clinton's face in that jacuzzi pool photograph. But we keep hearing that they are trying to block pieces of information, that a lot of the redacted information isn't of victims. It's actually of high-up officials. Whether or not that's true, well, we'll find out soon. And you know why we're going to find out soon? Because members of Congress are now going to be given the opportunity to go and look at the Epstein files unredacted themselves. So people like Congressman Thomas Massie, who obviously, you know, has been advocating for a lot of this. I know a lot of people believe that it's politically motivated on Massie's part, but according to his own tweets, he's actually going to be making his way today to look at those unredacted Epstein files. And technically, I mean, if Thomas Massie didn't want to be sued, but wanted to out what he found, he could definitely go to the congressional floor, the House floor, and outline those accusations. I'm pretty sure, now I'm not an attorney, but I'm pretty sure if he makes those claims on the House floor, that he has immunity from defamation claims. But he's claiming he's going there. Now, he's also asking the public to let him know what you want to know about specifically, and to send in what files you want to make sure he looks over. Now, obviously, he knows what he's doing. I don't doubt whether or not he knows what documents he's specifically searching for. But there's been so much put out there that we need to know about. There was even that email that just said 10 years old. Now, obviously, we know that Jeffrey Epstein's a pedophile, so when you see that, your heart sinks immediately. But what is that in reference to? Who is that 10-year-old? And they redacted the email address, too. That was a part of that conversation. Again, why? Well, the DOJ is claiming that this is a victim. Well, members of Congress should shuffle on over there to see if it's actually a victim. Now, again, I don't really trust politicians, but I also don't trust the DOJ. And there's so much I'm going to be diving into regarding Epstein over the next hour, so buckle up. There's a lot ahead in this one. But man, oh man, there was also this report that's really crazy. Apparently, he purchased 330 gallons of sulfuric acid. He purchased it back in 2018, it looks like, according to this document. Now, as many of you guys know, that's something that could actually be used to dispose of bodies. That's deeply concerning. You know, when we had, on my show, when we had human trafficking experts, they were talking about the organ angle to all of this, the organ harvesting angle to all of this. One of them outlined that that's how they were disposing the bodies of children after they harvested their organs. Now, when you look at that, when you look at that piece of document that was posted online, it also has, according to another document, it was the same day another investigation was opened into Epstein. So obviously this could all be coincidental, but I don't believe in coincidences. I believe that this is an evil man who is doing evil things. We'll get into the other reports, but just are absolutely disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Including allegations that there was a human incubator. And ultimately, folks, those allegations are really, I mean, this is probably one of the worst ones I've seen thus far, where young girls were getting pregnant and they were taking their children. I'll give you the details on that too. We're talking about a bunch of sick human beings. You can't tell me over these 3 million documents you've just put out there that there's nothing that could be criminally charged. Folks, the DOJ, FBI right now, you can't sit there and continue to do this to us. We're not stupid. We know that there's more there. I'm going to dive into all of the details, though, because there's more, especially with Howard Lutnick. As many of you guys know, he is the Commerce Secretary right now. But looks like Howard was not very honest with the American people. And we're going to dive into those details in just a little bit. This is the problem with everyone who's associated with Jeffrey Epstein. They sit there and tell you, oh, No. We were doing business prior to me even knowing any of this. But when you look at the dates, shortly after Epstein was a known pedophile because he was convicted, they all still were trying to do business deals with him. They were all still working with him. Folks, before we get into those details, I want to remind you all to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because last week we did something very, very exciting over at thealexjonesstore.com. We launched our very brand new electrolyte drink mix. As many of you guys know, Optimal Human Hydration is our new one that we just launched. It's the electrolyte drink mix, which includes French sea salt. It's 20 stick packs. So these are incredible because there's zero sugar in any of this. And it's going to help increase your energy. It's also going to reduce brain fog. This is something that I tell everyone you need to start your day off with every single day. Your electrolytes is something that you definitely need. And it's a reasonable price when you subscribe. About $1.25 a serving. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you snag this. Again, that's thealexjonesstore.com. We'll be back with more.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene Bluetooth. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, known me for a long time, said, sure, he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it, RFK Jr., He took it, and it was so game-changing. In the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. The first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in.
Because you came in saying, I want more Methylene Blue, and then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah. I mean, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it. You can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up and pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshow.com, but we'll certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what it does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
I see RFKs on it. Yeah. I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed. It's not caffeine. It's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I said, get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation books. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultimate Methylene Blue, thealexjonesshow.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, it was like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it if you're on SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesShow.com. So,
yeah, it's not psychosomatic. It's not psychological. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time, the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first and then working out so hard that, you know, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'd be like a restaurant. I ain't going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
To the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. Happy Monday, everyone. All right, a little bit of a crazy weekend, a lot to uncover in regards to Epstein. So we're going to be dedicating the first hour to going through all of the information that's come out in regards to just that. So buckle up, more to discuss. As many of you guys know, we're keeping our eye out to see if anything happens in regards to Ghislaine Maxwell, who is expected to give her deposition today to the Judiciary Committee. It's going to be specifically the Epstein file one, I believe. So that is the one that we're going to keep our eye on. Again, it's virtual, so we won't get anything from that until probably a couple of weeks after the fact. I believe the last one we got back, it took them at least 2 weeks before they put it out publicly. So you could expect there to be a bit of a delay, but again, as I outlined in the beginning of the show, we think that she's going to plead the fifth in a lot of this because she doesn't want to give up too much information without getting an agreement because she is fishing for a pardon for President Donald Trump. So we'll keep our eye on all things related to that. But there's a lot of really, really key information that's making its way to the surface that I expect everyone to want to buckle down and make sure that they know about. Specifically, we're hearing these allegations about Howard Lutnick. Now, as many of you guys know, he is the Commerce Secretary right now for President Trump. He's an individual who has denied a lot of the accusations that have floated around about him in the past. Now, here's the thing, right? There hasn't been much in the way of hard, concrete evidence to link him up to Epstein post the fact when he was convicted pedophile. So a lot of people have been able to get away with, well, I didn't know who Epstein was when taking certain meetings. But the reason why there are calls for Lutnick to resign today is because there's now emails that are being released. And it's quite the interesting set of emails. Now, Jeffrey Epstein Center, obviously the new released documents, reveal that Lutnick maintained far more of an extensive and prolonged contact with Epstein than he previously claimed. This is according to one report. Lutnick, at one point, was apparently neighbors with Epstein in New York City and publicly stated that in the 2025 interview, saying that Epstein was disgusting during a home visit, vowing to never be in the same room again with this individual. Now, however, according to reports, the files show an ongoing communication between the businessman and Epstein. Now, there are emails going back and forth that timed down about 2012. Now, again, it doesn't make sense because based on Lutnick's previous comments, he no longer wanted to even deal with Epstein after seeing how disgusting the man was. So this is conflating, right? This is, you got two people out here right now. Actually, you have one. You have Jeffrey Epstein's emails that continue to speak for him. And you have all of these top people saying, no, 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 I had no relations with him. Once I found out what an evil, disgusting man Jeffrey Epstein was. Now, obviously, we could all agree that Jeffrey Epstein was an evil man. I don't see really anyone disputing that. But the simple fact that a lot of these individuals knew that Epstein was a pedophile, right? He was convicted. And they still decided to do business deals with them. Last week, we told you about Bill Gates. Bill Gates, another one. Bill Gates trying to put, oh, I just wanted money for my global health efforts. One of the richest men in the world, and he's begging for spare change from Jeffrey Epstein. Are you supposed to believe that? Well, yes, I hope you do. But the reality is that's not what happened. Come on. And as I mentioned, obviously, Lutnick not really getting he's not really getting anyone to jump on his side right now. People are very, very upset about this because they've had enough of the lies and the nonsense. Yesterday in clip one, you're going to hear Congressman Thomas Massey call Lutnick out, and now he's calling for him to resign. Take a listen.
What questions do you have about Lutnick's ties to Epstein, and should he come before Congress and testify?
No, he should just resign. I mean, there are three people in Great Britain that have resigned in politics. The ambassador from Great Britain to the United States. The prince lost his title for less than what we've seen Howard Lutnick lie about. Look, Howard Lutnick clearly went to the island, if we believe what's in these files. He was in business with Jeffrey Epstein. And this was many years after Jeffrey Epstein was convicted, you know, lightly sentenced, but was convicted for sexual crimes. So he's got a lot to answer for, but really he should make life easier on the president, frankly, and just resign. If this were Great Britain, he'd already be gone.
Yeah, we'll be diving into what's happening in the UK in a little bit too with my good friend Matthew Marsden. We'll be jumping on to discuss that. But Thomas Massey's right. He should resign. He should resign. Because can the American people trust him? Well, the answer is obviously no. These emails are legitimate, which they seem to be. You owe us an explanation. I'm so fed up with these people going out there and lying to the American people, thinking that we weren't going to find out. You sent emails, sir. How did you not think that the American people weren't going to see this? Yeah, you could give him some leniency. There are some slip-ups, but the reality of it is the American people see through this. And there's also another report. And again, Elon Musk has been very outspoken, in fact, screaming that he wants the Epstein files released. And so, this one is a head-scratcher for me. This is the New York Post also outlining this. A newly released photo from the DOJ's Epstein files show Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg seated at a dinner table in 2015 in California with Epstein. The dinner was hosted by none other than LinkedIn co-founder Reid Hoffman. Reid Hoffman's a BFF over there. So again, just more people being dumped into all of this. Now, obviously, This doesn't mean that Elon Musk or even Zuckerberg are pedophiles, but it's disturbing given the fact that his conviction, again, was in 2008. This photo allegedly comes from 2015. Meta has stated that Zuckerberg met Epstein only in passing, by the way. They said it happened at a scientist-focused dinner, not organized by him, and never communicated with him afterwards. Elon Musk, just to be fair and balanced here, Elon Musk has also denied any close ties or being introduced or introducing anyone to Epstein. And he's denied any type of visits to Epstein Island. So again, I mean, again, and this is my thing, I've always said this, people are going to get wrapped into it, their names are going to get dropped, doesn't mean that they were actually one of the pedophiles. But again, I'm going to keep walking us through all of this. But again, here's the problem with all of this, and this is my big point. We have victims, and I played that clip for you guys months ago of the victims coming out and saying, you know what, the DOJ is not going to put out a list. We're going to put out our own list. I would love to see that list. We have surviving Epstein victims. Let's hear the names of the individuals you're going to accuse of sexual assault. Folks, I'm just so tired of us playing this tug of war game. Like, maybe they might give us some names. Maybe they won't. We have a list. We don't have a list. There's over 2 million pages, 2 million documents that are being dumped on all of us. You could create a list from that. There's no way you're telling me that given the digital footprint that this man left behind, you can't find out at least 3 or 4 people who were out there raping children with him. You can't tell us who those people are? See, this is why the American people still do not trust the DOJ, the FBI, none of these agencies, because, well, they're playing along. And when you think about it, it's actually pretty genius, right? The deep state used some of the most trustworthy conservative voices, pulled them in through the FBI, DOJ, and other entities, and have now had them out there saying everything about the Epstein stuff that you're hearing is true. But those are the people that were the biggest doubters before they were sworn into their positions. When you think about it, it's actually quite genius. Because a lot of these key individuals, they didn't receive much in the way of pushback. So whether that's me just downplaying their involvement in all of this and trying to pretend, I mean, I'm not trying to pretend anything, but it might sound like I'm trying to downplay their involvement in all of this. Think about it. I mean, some of the top people who you and I have listened to over the years are now they're going along with the Epstein narrative. Now, does this mean that it's very deep, it's very dark, and anyone who gets close to the truth will be suicided? Will have their lives ruined, their family's lives ruined? Maybe that's why everyone gets in line. Maybe they're giving us the truth, but gut tells me no. So it's truly just infuriating. But I think it highlights the bigger issue here. And the bigger issue here is they're not telling us the truth because there's a reason for that. This one tore at my heart. I've heard the accusations of these young underage girls giving birth and their babies being pulled from their arms shortly after giving birth. But according to the latest document, the teenager who's accusing obviously Jeffrey Epstein of sexual assault alleged in a diary entry around 2002 that while she was 16 or 17 years old, she was used as a human incubator to carry and give birth to a secret baby girl with Ghislaine Maxwell present. Now, this was all a part of their plans to create this type of superior gene pool, which obviously nobody wants any part in. Now, again, this breaks my heart because you don't know what happened to that little girl. The newborn was apparently snatched from her minutes after giving birth. Her pleas to keep and feed the child remain unverified with no confirmed evidence that Epstein ever fathered a child with this victim. Folks, we have a massive issue here. You can't sit here and tell me that there's no... Who sat there and helped her give a birth? Obviously, Ghislaine Maxwell would know about that. Yeah, okay. Wouldn't really trust her. Probably try to save face on that one. But there's got to be doctors in that room. Who are those doctors? We've even seen the code words that his own doctors were using. There's a disgusting email of one of his doctors talking about giving him ED medication. And then again, alluding to catching up to get, I believe it was an email with pizza and grape soda, if I'm not mistaken. So obviously, folks, this is all really just infuriating. This evil must be significantly worse than what we already know. You know, Mike Benz, good friend of mine, good friend of folks here at InfoWars too. We truly do love and appreciate what Mike Benz does, but he does an incredible job at digging into the truth on all of these issues. And he has been pretty accurate on a lot. And he sat down last week with Joe Rogan. I've been trying to sift through a lot of it. It's hard for me to buckle down and listen to hours and hours of content. But when it's Mike Benz speaking, I could listen to him for hours. He does an incredible job. But he recently did a really good piece, and he's floating a lot of important ideas in regards to the latest document dump that has just been made. Take a listen to clip two and his discussion with Joe Rogan.
The point I'm getting to here is, given Jeffrey Epstein's involvement in the BCCI network, given Jeffrey's involvement in the 1990s with all the foreign policy activities happening in the Middle East at that time, given Jeffrey Epstein's, involvement through, the early 2000s Clinton era and everything, given his involvement in everything from Israeli to Saudi to British to French high-level government officials, Jeffrey Epstein was investigated by the SEC in the 1980s. He was one of the two people who ran the biggest Ponzi scheme in history at the time in the United States, the Towers financial collapse. Epstein's business partner goes to jail for like 30 years or 20 years or whatever. But Epstein skates completely free. Epstein gets involved in this huge fraud in the U.S. Virgin Islands with this, billion-dollar fraud case in the U.S. Virgin Islands, never prosecuted for any of it. Why is that? Well, one is, he may have we know in the U.S. Virgin Islands case, he was sponsoring the campaigns, basically, of the politicians there. The prosecutor's answer to the politicians could be that. But I would be shocked if there, in 40 years of this Where's Waldo, Forrest Gump, he's always in the room, in 40 years of American foreign policy and intelligence activity, money sourcing for, that for all the crimes that Epstein committed, the concern was the same one they had with Rolando Masfer. Don't bring the case, and if you do, bring it in a highly limited way. And that's exactly what happened in 2006, the first time he was indicted. Everybody was up in arms that it was a sweetheart plea deal. It limited, it gave protection to all co-conspirators known and unknown. And it was swooped in quickly before, there was a trial in full so that lines of evidence couldn't be opened about the network.
Isn't that something, folks? That is an incredible two and a half hours interview that Mike Benz did with Joe Rogan. You got to check it out later in the day when you're, just sitting around your house. Definitely listen in on that, because Mike Benz does an incredible job of breaking down the latest in regards to the Epstein file dump. And so we look forward to playing more of his content, of course. All right, folks, Democrats, they're all fraudsters. But again, and I just don't want to put all the attention on them, but the reality of it is I'm going to focus on them for a second, because, their own voters understand that voter ID is an important issue, except those who are being elected. Now, those politicians don't like voter ID, well, because we could just assume at this point that they're stealing their elections, that they're stealing their local elections. And so the reality of it is people like, I get so angry. The New Yorker in me. Hakeem Jeffries is a scumbag, and Hakeem Jeffries loves to sit out there and pretend like voter ID is somehow discrimination. They're not stopping that talking point. In clip three, he does just that. Take a listen.
Now, I understand you don't support things like a passport, for example, but requiring basic ID in order to vote is really popular. A Pew poll from a few months ago showed 83% of Americans, including 71% of your fellow Democrats, support requiring an ID to vote. Why are they wrong?
I haven't said that they're wrong. We know that states are the ones who are empowered to conduct elections, and every state should be allowed to decide the best way to proceed to ensure that there's a free and fair election. Here in New York, there are, in fact, voter identification requirements. The question is that what Republicans are trying to do is to engage in clear and blatant voter suppression.
Ah, voter suppression, because minorities and women are too stupid to get IDs. You know, our little brains can't handle it, that we actually cannot show ID when voting. No, that's garbage. That's garbage. We all know it. That's the reason why they did their very best to infiltrate millions of illegal aliens into our country and to put them strategically in red districts. If you're wondering why you're in the Midwest and all of a sudden there's Muhammad everywhere when you're trying to pick an Uber ride, the reason why they've done all of this is because these are the future voters for Democrats. They are trying to flip red districts. And they did that successfully, honestly, because there was very little pushback. Too many Republicans are too afraid of being called racist by calling out the nonsense that was happening in this country. They wanted to drown out your vote. And they did just that by bringing the invaders straight into your communities. And we see it popping up everywhere. In Ohio, I was so surprised. I'm in Ohio. I'm in the middle of nowhere. And I'm just trying to get an Uber driver to pick me up. No one speaks English. No one. Foreigners everywhere. The local jail, because they did a story in the local jail when I was reporting for Steven Crowder's show. A lot of those were foreigners as well. In fact, they actually use a portion of their jail to house the illegal aliens for ICE. And this is in Ohio. This is in a small community. Folks, this is the reason why they're arguing against voter ID. They don't want you to really realize what's going on here. And it's getting so bad, obviously. The vast majority of Americans truly do support voter ID. I believe the last number we saw was like 83% of Americans support. And that's both Democrats, independents, and minority voters, that they support voter ID laws. The majority of Americans support this. So the only people that would actually push against this are, you know, the treasonous pigs who are stealing our elections. And we'll get into their efforts in a little bit, too, to infiltrate through the election machines. But things are so bad. I never thought in a million years, if you would have been like, Brianna, I'm going to give you a list of Dems. Which one do you think is going to be the most logical Democrat in 4 years from now? I would have never said John Fetterman. John Fetterman is by far one of the most logical Democrats they have on the left. Now, it could be the simple fact that Pennsylvania, obviously, can't run too far left. But even he has to side with the voter ID. He knows that this is something that the vast majority of Americans truly do support. In clip four, he does just that. Take a listen.
As a Democrat, I do not believe that it's unreasonable or to show ID just to vote. And I remind everybody that less than a year ago in Wisconsin, you know, they added that to the Constitution by a 63%, you know, passing to put that in the Constitution that you have to show ID to vote. And they also elected a very, very liberal justice into their Supreme Court. So it's not a radical idea for regular Americans to show your ID to vote. And it's absolutely, those things are not Jim Crow or anything. Of course, that's part of an awful, awful legacy of our nation for so, so long ago. But where we are now, trying to find a way forward, just trying to call balls and strikes, seeing what's unreasonable, hopefully we don't have to do, and pay the TSA people and everyone, secure our border, and focus on deporting all of those kinds of criminals, wherever right. they are. That's the guy that votes for that and supports that as a Democrat. And I don't ever want to vote to shut our government down again.
Right. And you are very much where the people are. Look, that's what most people would like to see. Prioritize the criminals. Take the criminals out of the country who are here illegally but are also committing crime. But, I mean, is there any other way to view the fact that Democrat leadership refused to have ID to vote? Is there any other way to read it other than they want illegals to vote? I mean, can you read it any other way?
Well, I mean, for me, the Save Act is not going to pass because of the filibuster, because they would need at least 7 or 8, Democratic votes to pass that. And now remember also, all the Democrats, all we wanted to eliminate the filibuster, except right. for it was Manchin and Sinema. They wanted to eliminate the filibuster, and now our party loves the filibuster. And then I do think we, you know, think the filibuster is a good thing, and it does force us to work together overall.
Right. Sure, absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
But I will say this as a Democrat. I do not believe it's radical or extreme to just produce ID to vote overall.
Exactly. All right. Senator.
It's common sense. If you're not trying to actively steal our elections, then you would get that. But, you know, those looking to steal our elections don't want you knowing the truth in regards to that. Folks, earlier this morning, Ed Martin posted something and I think it's worth your attention. Ed Martin is the pardon attorney for President Trump. He was also running the weaponization group over at the DOJ before he was quickly shut down. Now, according to my sources, and I'm still sticking with them, Ed Martin posted this. All this chatter about Todd Blanchard and me is fake news. I'm proud to work for President Donald Trump with Pam and Todd for a historic year of Trump. Hold on a second, folks. This is not what my sources tell me. Is Ed Martin trying to play safe with Todd Blanche because Todd Blanche is gunning for him? Likely. That's what my gut tells me on this one. What does it also tell me? It also tells me that I know for a fact what's happening behind the scenes. I mean, I know it for a fact. I know that for a fact that there are people on Todd Blanche's team trying to plant bad information over at CNN. Because CNN got that exclusive that they broke saying that Ed Martin was on the way out. So while we talk about the details, I mean, he's obviously trying to highlight and try to bring back the attention, Ed Martin. And I don't blame him. Ed Martin's a great person. Try to bring back the attention towards President Trump's victories because you don't want to distract from that. And I get that. But the distraction is not being created by people who are trying to debunk the bad reports that are coming out by Todd Blanche's team. That's not our fault. Now, maybe Todd Blanche and members of his team should probably stop talking to members of the media. What do you guys know? Blanche even met with Caitlin Collins prior to taking on this position. So he's very, very cozy with those over at CNN. So although Ed Martin's telling you we're good, are you really? Are they really? It's more like the question. Folks, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. Last week, we launched these new electrolyte drink mixes. You got to try them out for yourself. There are these hydration packets. They are an incredible way to start your day every day over at thealexjonesstore.com. It's about $1.25 a serving when you subscribe. So do just that.
People can use this as a teaching moment. That, you know, I see a lot of these people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones. And they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. But the second part is, okay, if you're out there and you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it. Just pay attention. One is learn history. Understand history. Understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking for who to cast in what roles. Because you understand the broader course of history. How these things tend to operate. How assassinations tend to occur. How cover-ups tend to happen. How false flags occur. How staged events occur. How also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy. In order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent. So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take
the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're working aggressively hard. We might have some breaking news coming your way exclusively on this show. So make sure you're with us. Don't go anywhere. We're working our way and trying to nail an exclusive down. We'll bring it to you once we finalize just that. It will likely happen on this show. But in the meantime, though, we're going to be diving into a couple of really important interviews during the show in the second hour, I should say. Matthew Marsden will be joining us. He's a Blaze contributor, but most importantly, he's British. He's British. I'm excited to have him on. He's a great friend, of course. And I want to ask him about the latest scandal that's going on right now in the UK. As many of you guys know, the Epstein files have kind of had this, they've had like this echoing effect now over in the UK right now. There's a lot of shakeups happening politically. So Marsden's going to join us to break down the very latest that's going on over there so the American people understand what's really happening here. Look forward to that. We're also talking about, briefly, because I think it's all just a distraction, but I think there's a massive, massive victory for conservatives, and that victory has to do with the fact that yesterday there was like this foreign slash like cross-dresser who was performing at the Super Bowl, wasn't worth your time watching, but what was really impressive is Turning Point actually did an event to counter that performance, and it had everything to do with Christianity being at the front and center of it, and something that the families could watch. It was quite the impressive performance by both Kid Rock and others. So we're going to be talking about that because it actually, I think, had a very impactful effect on the Super Bowl yesterday. Millions of Americans turned off the Super Bowl to watch Kid Rock, and I am actually very, very excited about that. This is how we win the war, folks. This is how we win the war. When they know that we're no longer watching because we're done with their propaganda, this is how we defeat them. We'll also be talking about how in New York right now, they have officially legalized, and I know my guest is going to have a problem with me saying it like this, but they've officially legalized euthanizing those who are terminally ill. It's obviously, it's a sick, sick thing to do. But there's been this big issue here. It's been going on across the world right now. And I spoke with her. This was probably close to 2 years ago. Kelsey Sheeran is going to be joining us. The reason why this is so interesting to me is, you know, she's done an incredible job at digging into all this and putting on my radar. And she flagged this for me years ago and was like, Brianna, just so you know, this is not going to stop in just Canada. It's going to trickle down to the United States too. And it has happened. I mean, right now they're doing it. I believe they've gotten a bunch of states right now on board with all of this. New York is now the 13th state to now allow this. So she'll be joining me to discuss. There's a lot in it too that you need to know about because this is going to be something that's going to be the big push, especially given the fact that they want to push us all in the same healthcare system. I mean, this is what they're going to start doing. There was all, and I would laugh just because of how absurd it was, but it's actually just so evil. I remember reading, this was in Canada. There was a woman who was disabled and she was unable to walk up her steps. So she was asking for a system to help assist bring her up the stairs. And they just decided to tell her that maybe you should just think about euthanizing yourself and send her information packets about that. So that's what's going on right now. We look forward to have Kelsey on the program in just a little bit. Sorry, it's Monday. I'm getting by. So we look forward to discussing that as well. Also, I've got this crazy story that I want to break down because as we talk about the economy improving, there's more glimpses that it's actually not improving. And it's actually really depressing news as Americans are turning to rent now, pay later programs. This should all be illegal. It's obviously a scam to get you buckled down into a you'll never pay off your debt system. I'll bring you the details on that too, because that was just deeply, deeply concerning. So folks, buckle up. We got a jam-packed 2 hours heading your way in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere. Matthew Marsden joining me in just a second. In the meantime, though, head on over. If you're going to go anywhere, go here, thealexjonesstore.com. Last week, we launched our brand new hydration packets. If you're someone who's not getting your electrolytes every morning, this is the new thing you're going to want to add to your diet. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. These are actually really, really reasonably priced. About $1.25 per serving. Every American can afford this. And I'm telling you, this is the perfect way to start your day every day. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. This is the new item that everyone's going to want. We have strawberry lemonade, my favorite, available right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
I'm an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot and a journalist and a pundit and an analyst and a futurist and a father and a guy that loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer. Just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, to quote Waylon Jennings.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. I'm like trying to do some sifting as we go to air, obviously, as many of you guys know. A lot of news dropping throughout the hour. And, you know, I'm always glued to my phone. If you ever see me on my phone, folks, know that it's not that I'm, you know, sending cute text messages. I'm trying to get some exclusives for you guys. And that's what we're working on right now. But most importantly, there was just a recent drop that I want to make sure all of our audience is aware about. I don't even know if that makes any sense, but we're going to run with it. The J6 Sub-Select Committee just dropped a new document, and this one's interesting, mainly because of the fact that it comes from Christopher Wray. I'm trying to pull this up for us now. According to the J6 Sub-Committee, these new documents prove that Christopher Wray, the former FBI director, actually predicted a January 6th-like event. Now, he predicted this back in September of 2020, keep in mind. So they just dropped this. And, it looks like Christopher Wray did predict it. Now, again, these documents were just recently unclassified. And he outlines the escalation from threats to increase violent attacks on individuals. And it goes on to go and detailing the harder targets. Now, again, there could be something here. I'd like to see the full document, of course, but unfortunately they didn't give us that. They gave us that little snippet. But that was just recently released, just a couple of moments ago, from the subcommittee on January 6th. All right, folks, let's shift gears a little bit because I want to talk about what's going on in the UK right now. As many of you guys know, there's a scandal in the UK because of an individual who was recently forced to resign from his position. Now, as many of you guys know, the latest document dump that's coming out has been quite the enlightening experience. Many people have denied in the past their ties to Jeffrey Epstein, but now there's no denying it for a lot of the individuals who are officially being named in it. Now, a lot of them always dismiss themselves like, oh, I wasn't with Epstein, or I knew him prior to him being a convicted pedophile and I didn't know any better. But over in the UK, they're also getting wrapped up into all of this. Peter Mandelson is an individual who obviously was affiliated with the Labour Party. He recently just resigned. He stepped down, but it's caused quite the stir in the UK. In fact, given the fact that Peter was named in all of these document dumps that recently came about, and it looks like what he's told us in the past isn't exactly true. Well, now the Prime Minister of the UK is getting wrapped up into all of this. Keir Starmer, as many of you guys know, he is the, can we say cuck? We're just going to run with it. He is the cuck Prime Minister of the UK, and he sat back and he's watched, he's encouraged the invasion of foreigners into his country, which are sexually assaulting young girls and women in his country. And because of all of that, it makes sense as to why he's being wrapped up into the Epstein scandal. Well, now there's new calls for his resignation. Joining me to discuss is the well-respected Matthew Marsden. He is an actor, most importantly, a dad, and he's also a contributor to The Blaze. And he's with us now. Matthew Owen, thank you for jumping on with us. Okay, so I'm trying to sift through everything that's going on right now across the pond, and I think it's quite fascinating that we're hearing a lot about now these calls to ask the Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, to step down in all of this. Now, obviously, a lot of people were trying to distance themselves from the Epstein scandal, but it looks like we're finally figuring out that they're lying to us. So break down exactly what the latest scandal is over in the UK right now.
Well, firstly, thank you for having me on your show again, Brianna. It's always a pleasure. I find it amusing, actually, that this is the straw that broke the camel's back, because you've had multiple, as you mentioned, instances of actual predators coming into the United Kingdom, like thousands and thousands of them. There was a case recently in my hometown, the town where I grew up in, a lady by the name of Rhiannon Skye White, who was stabbed to death on the steps of a train station, which you would think that that would be enough to kind of start calling for Keir Starmer's resignation. But, you know, this kind of, it's almost like an adjacent thing, right? Like he's appointed Peter Mandelson as the ambassador to the United States of America. It's come out that he has been involved in some way, shape or form with Epstein. And all of a sudden, Keir Starmer has to go. So I think to me, it's a little bit mind boggling that you can have multiple instances of Brits being murdered in the streets by illegal aliens, or as they call them, asylum seekers coming into the country. And this is the thing that is, as I said, the straw that broke the camel's back that will probably result in him resigning. He has been an overwhelming failure. I thought he was going to go within the first 2 weeks of him taking the office. He's been dreadful. He's a horrible leader. It is shocking to think that the country that produced Winston Churchill has such, as you said, such a cuck as Keir Starmer as the Prime Minister. It's staggering to me. And I think that what he did was for those of you that don't know, he hired a guy called David Lammy as his, I always say vice president, but it's the deputy prime minister. And that is kind of like trying to protect your job, because nobody in the UK wants David Lammy becoming the prime minister, because he's even a bigger moron than Keir Starmer is. So it's very, very interesting what is going on over there. I think that they should call a general election. The king can push to call a general election. They won't, because they absolutely know that Nigel Farage would be elected in a landslide. Make no mistake, Rihanna, all of this is about immigration. It's the number one topic. The country is a shadow of what it was when I left about 20, 23 years ago. And when I went about a year and a half ago or 2 years ago back there, it was unrecognizable to me. I mean, just in so many different ways. There are elements of it that are still amazing. I still love the country that I was born in. But it has fallen so far now that the only way to go is to have mass deportation, same as in the USA. You need mass deportations and a real kind of top to bottom change in politics over there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what most, I think, people are wanting. And I think, you know, Marsden, I think the real key issue here, too, is it's the reason why they've suppressed so much in regards to free speech. It's the reason why they've tried controlling the narrative in regards to immigration. I mean, under Keir Starmer, they've locked up thousands of Brits for speaking openly online about how they're not happy with the invasion that's happened in their country. And because of that, a lot of people have been sentenced to 1, 2, or 3 years in prison, or even more. And so, you know, this has been building up in your country for a while now. And I know you're American now, obviously. You live here. But, I mean, it's been really upsetting to sit back and watch. I've been covering it for years, and I haven't really seen this big push as of yet. But now it's starting to happen. We're thankful that it's happening. You know, there are reports floating around online, too. I know a lot of people are concerned that if Keir Starmer does step down, you just listed the deputy who would probably take over for him. But there's also fears that there might be a Muslim female who might also take over for him potentially as well. You might have to correct me on this, but the pronunciation, I believe, is Shabana Mahmood. I mean, I'm sorry, but yeah, this is just not my thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, and the ridiculous thing about that was they – they initially appointed her as the person that is going to stop the boats from coming in. I mean, you can't make it up, right? It's like, I'm going to get the worst person possible to do this, and I'm going to put them in that job. Look, unfortunately, what you have is you have a bunch of morons and idiots running the country. And I think for the longest time, the same thing has happened over here, actually. We kind of rode on the coattails of the great people that came before us. So if you look back to the Thatcher era, you know, you had an amazing prime minister back then. And we kind of like coasted on the back of her and what her cabinet did for years and years and years. And people just didn't get involved. And, you know, you saw this like little encroachment on people's rights bit by bit. And it is true about the Brits, right? It is true. They do have that attitude of keep calm and carry on. They're not as kind of reactionary as Americans are. Americans are much more involved in their politics, obviously, because, you know, the whole country was formed upon rights being infringed and Americans rising up against tyranny. So, and that's an amazing thing. I can tell you that because obviously I've got way more involved in politics since I've become an American and since I came here. But the Brits are kind of like a little bit slower to kind of react. And they tend to be kind of center right, center left. And what has happened now is that there's been so many people coming into the country, and the left will cite statistics like, oh, it's only X amount percentage. But the problem is, like in the United States of America, those more violent areas are concentrated in the cities. So the people that are coming in are pretty much being concentrated in one area, and they're really causing no-go areas. And in a country that is so small, I think you can fit the United Kingdom into the state of Texas like three times. So a country that is so small, it just cannot take that amount of people coming in such a short period of time. And couple that with a feckless prime minister who keeps saying these aren't the droids you're looking for, when Brits are going, hang on a second, I have a problem with a man being stabbed in the street when he's walking his dog by an Afghan. I have an issue with that. And they're like, well, actually, We might arrest those people, but really what we're doing is we're going after you for hurty words on social media. It is insane. And again, I mean, I talk to people every day. My family's still over there. I talk to people in the UK. And do you know who it affects the most? It affects the working class, right? The people that have government housing. I grew up in government housing. So I know these people. These are my people. And they're saying we can't go out anymore. We feel like foreigners in our own land. And yet the elites in the same as over here, right, Brianna, the elites kind of lecture down to the working man and tell them that, you know, what they're experiencing isn't really real, even though it's their daily experience. They can't go out. They don't feel safe. Their kids can't walk the streets like we did when we were younger. And now it's getting to a point where you can't escape it. You can't go anywhere without seeing this. And when I went back to the UK, I went to Birmingham, which is the biggest city near to where I grew up. And it was like visiting a foreign country. I mean, the change was so rapid from in the 25 years since I left there. It was marked. It was very, very worrying to me because, look, you can turn around and say, I don't have a problem with a multi-ethnic society, but a multicultural society is not good. It doesn't work. You have to come into the country and adopt the culture of that country. Otherwise, you have all these factions splitting up. And this is what we've seen in the United States, by the way. Mm-hmm. The difference is America's so big. It's so massive. And it's very difficult for people in Europe to understand how big America is, that you're not really seeing it until people go into places like Minnesota and they're like, what is going on here? You've literally got a demographic change that we've never seen in 200 years. In the UK, the demographic change hasn't been seen. That they've imported more people over the past 20 odd years than they did since 1066, right? Since, you know, back hundreds and hundreds of years, well, a millennia ago. This is a massive problem, Brianna, and it's not going anywhere. And I don't know how they're going to rectify it, because what are they going to say? They're going to get rid of people that are allowing people to become citizens after being there for 5 years. I mean, this is a massive problem. So there's no way out of it. In my opinion, there's no way out of it without seeing massive civil unrest.
Yeah, and I wanted to turn to this because this was actually just posted. And as you highlight, it took them 10 years to figure it out. But the Home Office over in the UK now is putting out messages like this on Twitter, which is quite strange. Right now, migrants crossing safe countries in Europe because of how generous our asylum is, but no more. We're closing asylum hotels and ensuring that those who break our laws have their support removed. What's this all about? I mean, like when I first saw this morning, I thought this was like a troll tweet. I didn't realize this was from an official government account, but it sounds like they're starting to catch on here.
Yeah. And like I said in that tweet, like in another 10 years, they might figure out they've got to deport them as well. Because what do you do if you close down the migrant hotels? You're going to put them out on the street. What they, everything they do in this government is disingenuous or lying, because what they're going to do now is they're going to give them housing. They're going to give them what I grew up in, which was for people who were poor in the UK. You get government housing, right? You get assistance. My mom was a single parent. So what you do is you end up in this government housing. Where are they going to go? They're going to put them in government housing, which means once again, the British people lose out and you get these enclaves of people coming in. It's like these little ghettos, which we know because we've seen what Barack Obama did in, you know, back in the day. We went from what I consider, you know, you go through the 90s, and into the early 2000s. I don't remember anyone talking about race. I don't think anyone really cared about the color of anyone's skin. We kind of got past that. I mean, look, shocker. There's always going to be racism because of the human condition, because of the way that human beings are. We're always going to have something like that in our system. You can't legislate that out of the human heart, right? But what Obama did was he really did start separating people off into different groups, which to your point earlier on about the Super Bowl, you shouldn't have a Super Bowl where people, Super Bowl halftime show where people are speaking Spanish. You shouldn't do that. And this is what happened in the UK. And I noted it ages and ages ago that in the UK, what they started doing, Brianna, was they started saying, oh, let's put a sign up here in Urdu. Let's put a sign up here in a different language. Instead of saying to people, you come to this country, you have to learn the language. You come to this country, you have to abide by our laws, because not all cultures are equal. And I'm fed up of saying this. I'm fed up of us, that the greatest nation, the United States, and shortly behind the UK, being the greatest nations the world has ever seen, just saying, no, this country over here where that, by the way, in places like India and Pakistan, they have a caste system, right? They're even more, they want to separate people even more than they do, in Western society. So they're coming over here and they're saying, no, our culture is equal. It's not equal. It just isn't. And we shouldn't allow that. And what Obama did was fracture this country so badly. And we're seeing it right now with everything's about race. Everything's about, you know, divisive politics. And us on the right are like, well, hang on a minute. We want to talk about the culture. We want to talk about the content to character. We don't care, you know, what color you are. We don't care what religion you are. You know, you're all Americans. And I'm telling you right now, doing stuff, people think that this is, why'd you have a problem with them speaking Spanish in the Super Bowl? It's a big deal. It really is a big deal. It's an incremental, push towards separating people. Why should the thing that I used to, when I was growing up in the UK, everyone used to watch the Super Bowl halftime show. Didn't care about the Super Bowl, but everyone watched to watch the greatest artist on the planet. It was the premier platform. If you got to do the Super Bowl halftime show, you were elite. Think about the Prince performance. Think about Paul McCartney. You can list all these great performances and you would watch it. Now, I think that the biggest market outside of the USA for American football, you say American football for the Brits, is the United Kingdom. So why would you do it in Spanish? It makes no sense. It's all about division. It's all about putting people in different pockets so they can point them at each other to fight. That's what it's all about. It's not about unity. It's a lie. Again, as the left always lies, it's not about unity at all.
Yeah, it's not. And that's the reason why when you watched, I mean, I didn't watch, but I was told when you watched, you saw two different national anthems. I mean, this is the goal here is to be as divisive as possible. Even though we're all from the same country, we have one national anthem. I don't respect the other one that they've made up. We have one national anthem in this country, but I also want to get to something that's kind of on the good side of things. You know, you and I, Mars, and we talk about it in private quite often about how we need to create an alternative, a conservative alternative, instead of having to just deal with like this woke nonsense that we're fed all the time. And clip 12, Kid Rock yesterday was performing during the Turning Point halftime performance, and he had a very interesting moment on stage yesterday. Take a listen to clip 12.
There's a book that's sitting in your house somewhere that could use some dusting off. There's a man who died for all our sins, hanging from the cross. You can give your life to Jesus, and he'll give you a second chance till you can't take it. If you got a chance, take it.
I mean, Turning Point crushed it last night, Marsden. I was so proud of them. I mean, regardless of how people sometimes feel about Turning Point, they gave the American people an alternative. And I think the boycott actually worked. When I was looking at the final counts, there's numbers floating around that there were about 25 million people switched over to watch this performance last night. I mean, that has a massive ding in the NFL's revenue stream. I'm sure next time around when they try this nonsense, they might actually think twice. What was your reaction to watching the Turning Point alternative halftime performance?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's amazing. I actually floated this idea about 15 years ago to do an alternative to the Super Bowl halftime show. And by the way, and TP USA, I'll give you this one, and to do an alternative to the Oscars. But this is the only way that we can change the culture, and that is to invest in it and give an alternative, because people are desperate for it. You saw it yesterday with the sheer amount of numbers that watched that show. I mean, I got with a bunch of my friends yesterday, and I didn't really watch the game because, you know, for the longest time, I'm sick to death. I was sick of the kneeling. I was sick of the degradation of the flag. I'm sick of the wokeness in it, and the way that we should only have, as you said, we should only have one national anthem. But we all watched, we turned it over and we watched the Turning Point halftime show, and it was great. I mean, it's what it should be. It should be about great talent talking about how great this country is. We really should be having that, because let me tell you this, Brianna, and a lot of Americans don't really understand this or realize this, because you kind of think, well, you know, everyone else is kind of like us. But that would never happen in Europe. What Kid Rock said yesterday would never happen in Europe. And this is part of the problem with the UK, with France, with Italy, with Germany, is they've lost their faith. They've lost their Christian faith. So when you are unmoored from an objective good, how can you say something is evil or something is good? You can't. All you can say is, I don't like that. I don't like this. In the same way they say, that's your truth, that's my truth. We all know in America that there's one truth. We all know that there's one God. And I think that by Kid Rock doing that, and unashamed, you know, in the way he said it, he was unashamed, is that's a light for the rest of the world. And the United States of America needs to regain its position as the shining city on a hill again,
yeah,
for the rest of the world. It is the greatest country the world has ever seen. Mm-hmm. And it will be again. And we're on our way to getting back to that. And we shouldn't be ashamed of that. And we shouldn't be ashamed of our Christian heritage. I thought it was amazing. Please go and do an alternative to the Oscars. And next year, it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. But please, conservatives, we have to invest in the culture. It matters.
Yeah.
Okay? It really does matter.
Marsden, it does matter. And it was good to see. And we were very proud to see just that. Matthew Marsden, thank you for joining us as always. We appreciate your input. Folks, if you haven't done so already, give him a follow on X. Matthew D. Marsden is where you could find him on Twitter. And he's also on YouTube as well. I highly recommend that. Follow Matthew. Thank you, folks. Buckle up. I got breaking news coming your way in just a few moments. We'll also be taking your calls in just a couple seconds as well, so don't go anywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else is doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there. The shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalist. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. Oh, a lot happening here. If you want to join the discussion, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539 is the number to call. We'll be taking a couple of calls today. Throughout the show, we dive in and out of stories. So if you'd like to join, that is the number you're going to want to call into. Folks, just want to bring you an update. I told you. Ghislaine Maxwell just finished her deposition in less than an hour with those over at the Oversight Committee. That's the House one, by the way. The reports now are saying that, like we warned you, she invoked her Fifth Amendment rights. It did not give the committee any information in their closed-door virtual interview with Ghislaine Maxwell. Now, we knew this was the strategy going into all of this. Obviously, we detailed that for you in the opening of the show. But it looks to be true. Nothing juicy coming out of that deposition because, well, Ghislaine decided to plead the Fifth. Now, again, I don't know how it's possible, but she is trying to angle herself for a pardon. So why would she disclose information to Congress without having a get-out-of-jail-free card slid her way? So no surprise there. No surprise there. Folks, I also want to get into this. We didn't actually have the opportunity to play this, but I think it's interesting. We're going to play clip 13 for you. You know, yesterday at the Super Bowl, I didn't watch, but I heard little rumors. There was an ice commercial, a pro ice commercial that played, and it had everybody upset, especially those libs. Take a listen.
They're friends and neighbors, sons, fathers. They're little league coaches and veterans. They're people who love this country. These are Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers. They are removing violent criminals from our streets and neighborhoods. It's dangerous and difficult work. But ICE has one mission, to make America a safer place to live, and that's what they're doing. This is law enforcement. This is ICE.
Oh, that's going to tick them off. Also, by the way, outside of the stadium, there was also a billboard, a massive billboard, a very pro-ICE billboard that was placed, and it had a lot of people fired up. Local news was covering it extensively because they were so upset that there would be pro-ICE rhetoric being spewed in their city. It's a great group of folks who are putting together all of their resources to make sure that we don't forget about the brave men and women who do serve, and we should all be very proud. Yeah, that's the one. Defensive Player of the Year, ICE. Got him. That's how you trigger those on the left. So we love to see it. We hope that there's more of this, of course. But when it comes to the immigration issue, again, folks, they're lying to you about a lot. In fact, I just actually saw this when I was scrolling through Twitter just a moment ago, but Bill Mnuchin's actually fact-checking CBS News, who put out a recent report saying less than 14% of nearly 400,000 immigrants arrested by ICE in President Trump's first year had charges or convictions of violent crimes. That's what they're claiming. But Bill Mnuchin points out that if you just scroll a little bit further, there's actually facts past the headline. Now, their audience isn't going to be scrolling in for details. They just want the quick spew of information. That's what they're going to run with. But Bill Mnuchin also pushing back a little bit and saying nearly 60% of ICE arrestees over the past year had criminal charges or convictions, the document indicates. Ah, so they left that part out of the headline. Nearly 60%, which would mean the majority of illegal aliens who they are capturing do, in fact, have prior criminal charges. Now, what does CBS include in the hill? These are violent crimes. Well, keep in mind, folks, the left doesn't think pedophilia is violence. In fact, in New York, they thought that possession of child pornography was a nonviolent offense, even manslaughter. So keep that in mind. Some of the most heinous crimes that you and I would say are the worst of the worst, well, they deem as nonviolent. Nonviolent. All right, folks, I want to gear up again. We're taking your calls in just a little bit. So if you want to call the show, 877-789-2539, that is the number you're going to want to call. But most importantly, I'm working on a couple of other things I wanted to dive into. There's a group of racist, nasty trolls, and they're all on the left. And here's the thing, right? Because they expect white people just to tolerate their nasty racism. And I constantly hear, oh, black people can't be racist. Minorities can't be racist. Well, if you ever buckled down with a couple of, got a lot of Hispanic friends that are say things that I would never say in a million years. Asians who say things. White people aren't racist, I have to say. Because even in private, I don't hear them say racist things. But I will tell you this. Black people have no problem going out there, and Muslims and Indians as well. And they have like this new renewal, especially on the left. This is maybe exclusively to those on the left, form of racism where they could sit there and just put things out there and say things that they probably shouldn't say out loud. They say them because they don't care. Jin Yu Wu, I guess you could say, he's a Chinese national. He's also a Texas House representative. Now, he's just throwing his mask off these days. Doesn't even care in clip 7. He is a racist, nasty troll. And because, again, we brought him into this country, I don't know why we keep doing this to ourselves, he thinks he'll come out here and openly talk about the takeover. Remember when they told you that theory, that race theory, that they were just trying to replace us? Replacement theory, I believe, was what they called a conspiracy. Remember when they told you that was a conspiracy? Well, the left always knew it was a conspiracy, and now they're actually celebrating the fact that they have now made white people the minority in their own country. Take a listen to clip 7.
I always tell people the day the Latino, African-American, Asian, and other communities realize that they are, that they share the same oppressor is the day we start winning. Because we are the majority in this country now. We have the ability to take over this country and to do what is needed for everyone and to make things fair. But the problem is our communities are divided. They're completely divided. And I talk about.
Yeah. As many of you guys know, you guys just heard that clear. It was very direct. And it's not just him. There's another lefty troll who's going out there and talking about how they've replaced us successfully in clip 8. Take a listen.
You've lost. You have lost. You lost. The mistake that you made is you let us in the first place. See, that's the thing with brown people. I'm going to say this as a brown person. There's a lot of us. Like a lot. There's like 1.2 billion in India. There's more than 200 million in Pakistan. There's like 170 million in Bangladesh. Those are just the people there. I'm not even talking about the folks who are expats or immigrants. There's a bunch of us. And we breed. We're a breeding people. And the problem is you let us in 1965. There were a few of us beforehand. But once you let one of us in, you know what happens with brown folks? Our grandmother comes. Our grandfather comes. Our uncle comes. Our aunt comes. Our cousin comes. Our second cousin comes. Our third cousin comes. Then we have kids, a bunch of kids. And then guess what? Some white women, you know, the Western civilization women, the pure women, the American women, quote unquote, the Rust Belt women, the real women, they like some of us brown folks. We don't take them. They come to us.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I have a lot to say on that one. I have a lot to say on that one. Folks, ask women, when you're getting hit on, catcalled, who are those folks who are doing so? You'll probably hear a very common theme racially as a demographic that's doing that. Those that creep them out. And I could promise you, I mean, how many times do you need to see those videos? There was one recently too, I believe it was Australia, where there's a woman who's just laying out on the beach by herself. I guess she just finished surfing. She's got her surfboard there, but she's just laying out trying to enjoy her peace. And there's this guy who obviously is a native to Australia hovering over her and harassing her to the point where people who were nearby her felt very uncomfortable and started filming it just to make sure that she was okay and she had any evidence in case he crossed the line. I mean, this is the type of stuff that happens. No, they're not coming to you. It also just happens to be the Indian accent. It just happens to be probably one of the worst accents when it comes to an accent to be attracted to that mostly every woman would probably agree on is the least sexiest. But I could get into that wormhole and it would be a lot worse. But I will spare myself on that one. See, this is the problem, right? We have all these individuals now who have infiltrated our country, who hate this country and want to see it get taken over. And they're now openly advocating for the takeover. They're openly admitting, yeah, we got you guys. We successfully made our way into your country. We're now destroying it successfully. I mean, they have no problem with this. This individual in clip 6, Bakari Sellers, tells Don Lemon what he wants to do to MAGA, what he thinks is appropriate. In clip 6, he actually says that he wants to fumigate us. Take a listen.
You know, Joe Biden was somewhat of a bridge. He was supposed to be a bridge or a palate cleanser or somebody who morally and ethically was antithetical to who Donald Trump was. You know, Uncle Joe was the nice guy, older white guy, comes in and you want to eat ice cream with him, right? Well, I think what that episode in our country's history showed us is that we really need some fumigation, right? We need a exorcism, for lack of a better term. We need a more aggressive approach to go in and surgically remove the cancer that is the Donald Trump and MAGA movement.
Surgically remove it. Dude, he's talking about killing us. He's talking about killing us. These people are toxic human beings. Imagine if we ever got on TV and said what he just said there. I hate to tell you, folks, there would be a group of protesters probably outside the building going nuts over it. The reality of it is the left is allowed to be as racist and issue as many death threats as they want, and there's no pushback. Now, why is that? Why are they able to wish the very worst for those on the right, even assassinate one of our top conservative spokespersons? I mean, there's no other person than Charlie Kirk that illuminates just that. And they seem to get away with it all of the time. They don't even have to tone down their rhetoric. No one's asking them to do just that. No one's asking for them to do just that. Folks, let's turn to some callers. Savage Dog in Georgia's first one up. Savage Dog, welcome back to the show. What's on your mind?
Good morning, ma'am. So many clips before I got on. I guess that guy that was just talking about Don Lemon forgot about Sleepy Uncle Joe eating ice cream, talking about we don't need any more N-word mayors and, you know, sitting on in Congress. I guess they forgot all about that. First thing I want to talk about, I asked Matt if he knew about this. I hope he's pulled it up. There's a side-by-side with Savannah Guthrie doing her little video to the kidnappers. And it's word for word what the senator says on Silence of the Lambs, talking about her kidnapped daughter that's down in a well, word for word. Like, she's kind and she's smart. And if you just talk to her and get to know her, it's play one and then the other. It's word for word. It's awesome. While she's almost smiling, laughing. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of goofiness going on with that kidnapping thing.
I know. I saw that one too. It kind of gave me a little bit of a weird chill when I realized the comparison, because I saw the side by side. And yeah, no, I think you're spot on. It's strange. It's strange. And then also when you look at the videos too, and you see the expressions of her children. I mean, one of the daughters, not Savannah, but the other one, and I believe the other one's her son. It was pretty odd.
Yeah, the FBI is now with gloves digging in the daughter's backyard. So, you know,
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah.
But the thing I want to talk about is the Epstein stuff. One of my favorite channels on YouTube, End Times Productions, they do really good deep dives on a lot of spiritual Bible, like deep dives and stuff. He was talking about how it doesn't matter how much they release, because everything they release is like Gmail stuff. They're not going to talk about overtly doing things on Gmail. It's all going to be on Signal, which is going to be completely white forever. So it doesn't matter how much they release. You know, it's not, I don't remember what movie it was where, you know, courtroom drama or something. It's like, it's not what you know, it's what you could prove. And everything we've seen so far, yeah, it put it all together, it all stinks, but there's nothing to prove. It's like anyone could go out and buy a 55 gallon drum of sulfuric acid. I think I've never tried, but you know, it doesn't mean, you know, and that's all the lawyers got to say, is it doesn't necessarily mean we're melting kids in them. You know, we're doing it for a derpy derp, or we unclogging toilets. I don't know. And I don't think we're going to get anything. And the fact that, you know, the FBI and Justice Department are saying we're not going to do anything about these is because there's nothing to do. The only thing we can do, the only thing we have, is unsealing that dang first court case in Florida, which Pam Bondi was in charge of. Imagine my shock. Which makes me think that the reason she's there and still there, there might be something going on with Trump. And because why would she be there to start with? She's the one doing that had the Epstein, the first Epstein case. Because they got the list, not just circumstantial emails and pictures and whatever. That's the only place we can go. And they've already tried it, and that court refused to unseal it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah, but we've seen little pieces of information get leaked out from that. I saw the transcripts. I know Florida locally did. They passed legislation for us to get the look into the transcripts from the grand jury report. It was gross. I mean, as I reported extensively too, and that was claims from a girl who was 17 the day before her 18th birthday. Jeffrey Epstein actually raped her, and he did so when he found out that it was about to be her 18th birthday. So we're talking about one of the worst pedophiles that this country has ever seen, but nothing being done at our federal level. And, you know, it's so infuriating, continuing to talk about all this, to see it all unraveled, all the evidence unravel, and they continue to tell us there's nothing more that can be done. We're looking into it. Don't worry about it. We'll get to the bottom of it. They never do. And we all know that. Savage Dog, thank you for calling in. I wanted to get to this. James Comer actually just spoke moments ago, and I want to play that for you because it's about Ghislaine Maxwell deciding to plead the fifth in her deposition that just happened moments ago. Let's take a listen.
As well as questions about potential co-conspirators. We sincerely want to get to the truth to the American people and justice for the survivors. That's what this investigation is about. I want to mention the next steps. We can confirm we have five more depositions in the book scheduled for the Epstein investigation. On February 18th, Lex Wexner, who is a financial client of Epstein and I believe the former CEO of Victoria's Secret. February 26th, we have former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. February 27th, former President Bill Clinton. March 11th, Richard Kahn, Epstein's accountant. And March 19th, Darren Endike, Epstein's lawyer. So we will continue to move forward and try to get answers for the American people.
So, Britain's royal family, do you think that Britain's royal family has questions to answer to your committee?
Well, we would love to hear, from anyone. Obviously, I can't subpoena in foreign countries, or I would have done that in the Biden investigation. But do you have anything to add, Andy?
I'll just add one thing that the attorney for Ms. Maxwell said that she has no indication and would say that neither Presidents Trump or Clinton are culpable for any wrongdoing. And that's one thing they said in his opening statement to us today.
But isn't it clear that Ghislaine Maxwell...
Was Ghislaine Maxwell put under pressure to stay silent? Was Ghislaine Maxwell put under pressure to stay silent today?
Well, I have no idea.
Is that your suspicion?
Well, how would I have no idea. I mean, she was given an opportunity. We would have brought her in months ago, but she's indicated she was going to plead the fifth. And unfortunately, she had an opportunity today to answer questions that every American has, questions that would be very important in this investigation, and she chose to invoke her Fifth Amendment rights.
Mr. Chairman, clarify what her lawyer said about President Trump and Clinton, and do you think that there's anything more to do with Ghislaine Maxwell now that she pled the fifth?
What? You correct me if I'm wrong. Just to be clear, what her attorney said, Maxwell didn't say, her attorney said that she would answer questions if she were granted clemency
by the President Trump.
And that she went on to say about Clinton and...
But he went on to expand that. The other thing is he pointed out a number of times that she has a habeas corpus petition pending for a new trial and release, and that's why she is not going to answer questions.
Mr. Chairman.
I know that those conversations are ongoing. They would like them to be public. Is your understanding still that we're looking at those same February dates and they're going to be private?
Yeah, that's what they agreed to. And they will be public, just like this will be public hopefully very soon. We've released every transcript and every video and audio of every deposition we've done since I've been chairman of the committee.
Mr. Chairman, does the committee have any plans to subpoena Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick given the revelations?
We're going to try to get these five nailed down. We've got a lot of very important people we're trying to bring in to answer questions. We don't want to do anything to jeopardize the five that we have on the book. So we'll see what happens here, and we'll move forward.
Do you have concerns about
talking to anyone that might have any information that would help us get justice for the survivors? Yes.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. On the disagreement with the Clintons about closed-door videotape testimony versus public hearing, are you concerned that this will be enough to restart contempt proceedings, or do you think you'll come to a resolution?
I mean, they said they would... They agreed to a standard deposition. That's what a standard deposition is. Every time I've come out here for a press gaggle with you all, we've had a standard deposition. So this is how depositions work, and it will be made public. So they want a public deposition. This is what they're going to get.
Your investigation about Ilhan Omar, why are you targeting her when there is a problem? Ilhan Omar?
your committee investigation with Ilhan Omar, when there is a process in the House, if people have questions about their conduct, this would go through the Ethics Committee. Why is this under the jurisdiction?
And I've spoken, I'm glad you asked that question. I've spoken with the Ethics Committee. The Ethics Committee has jurisdiction over members of Congress. The two businesses in question are owned by Ms. Omar's husband. So the Ethics Committee does not have jurisdiction over a spouse, only a member. So that's why we just asked, we would have questions. I don't think anyone would.
But it would pertain to her overall finances, because that is listed on her financial disclosure report, even though that's her spouse.
Well, we've run this by the Ethics Committee, and we think this is the appropriate route. So, and we'll do one more question.
Yes. Just going back to the Clinton deposition, sorry for space. I understand that you're going to release the transcripts, you'll release the video.
Of course.
Why is there reticence to just have it be public, since the Clintons, look, they are not your typical.
When you say public, what do you mean? I mean, it's going to be the video, and we'll release it. It's the public will see every second of the deposition.
But not at the time that it happens. So what's the reticence?
What, a few seconds later? I mean, it's. I think the Clintons are trying to muddy the waters and create a false narrative. Like, oh, deposition's behind closed doors. That deposition was behind closed doors, but you had at least 10 members of Congress in there, and you'll have the video, I hope, very soon.
Ghislaine Maxwell, we know from the Epstein files, didn't tell the truth. She got moved to an open prison. Now she's asking for clemency to speak at all. Was it a mistake to move her to that prison? Should she be moved back?
I don't know the rationale for moving her from one prison to the other. But look, initially she had asked that the Oversight Committee grant immunity. And when we met with the survivors of Epstein, it was pretty clear, according to the survivors, and, you know, we had 20-some members in that meeting, that Maxwell was a very bad person, and she committed a lot of crimes. And it was the intent, in my opinion, when we left that meeting in a bipartisan manner, that we would not grant immunity. Now, what she said today, she's asked for clemency from the president. So I personally, for the reasons you just stated, don't think she should be granted any type of immunity or clemency. But we'll obviously, you know, as more documents are read and understood, then we'll go from there. But I'll close with this. I think it's great that the Department of Justice is letting members of Congress come in and look at all the unredacted versions of the documents.
I'm going to step in on this because we're learning a little bit more. Obviously, we know that she's not trying to speak. She's pushing to be freed, and that makes sense. They're just not going to give Congress a bunch of evidence and tell them what actually happened behind the closed doors. She knows what she has, and she's looking for freedom. And that's the price if the FBI, DOJ, and the White House truly wants her to come forward and speak to them. I don't think it's a top priority for this administration right now. I think the president's made it very clear that he's over the Epstein files and ready to move on. So there's that. We'll keep following it, obviously, as it develops. But we got a lot more to discuss in just a bit. Again, guys, we're taking your calls in just a few moments. 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. Into the next hour, we'll be taking your calls. So give us a call if you want to sound off on something. In the meantime, though, you got to head on over to thealkjonesstore.com right now. We just launched those new electrolyte drink mixes. Many of you guys know we're very happy about this. Strawberry lemonade and lime. Well, lemon lime, I should say. Those are the new flavors over at thealkjonesstore.com.
We sell the best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and knives at theauctionstore.com. And they had some awesome daggers and awesome trench knives, and that's all great. But I said, I want a wide selection of high-quality folding knives, flip knives, you name it, so people have a one-stop shop. They got in a few thousand knives a few months ago. They sold out very quickly, 4 or 5 great designs. They had a bigger shipment in just the last few days. Our sponsor, just really top-flight knives. These knives, this knife right here you see, in the green, highest quality Damascus steel, all of it, They sell in stores for $75 all day. We're selling for $40, $47. Okay? So look at that flip. Flips right out. Got a nice little, you know, my signature on it, real small. Nice little memento. You support the broadcast. That is a really nice knife. It clips on to your belt buckles. We have it in the green. We have it in the murdered out black. We have it also in silver without it being blacked out. Those are great knives. Those are the new designs. Now, those 200 left of the Skull Crusher World War II trench knife with the Spartan tip of the spear. So they held those back. Those are available. A little bit left they held back in their overstock of the Fire with Its Beauty. But this is a really cool knife. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. Limited stock of that came back in. Also, the Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. And this is the knife that sold out the quickest fitting knife. They got 500 of these. 1,000 now just came in. The first one sold out like in hours. Alex Jones Ring Blade. I guess those are popular. This is something I didn't really call for, but it's awesome. Got that ring on the back. Got the deal. It's really nice. Those are all back in stock right now at thealexjonesstore.com. But while you're at it, get methylene blue, Irish sea moss, and more. And check out the Patriot Apparel, thealexjonesstore.com.
American Journal. Getting ready to kick off the third hour of the show by taking your calls. 877-789-2539 is the number you're going to want to call if you want to join the program. Again, folks, that's 877-789-2539. That is the number to call. We'll also be joined in this hour by Kelsey Sheeran. Now, as many of you guys know, she is an advocate. She's an independent journalist, most importantly, best-selling author, but she's also an advocate for life, but specifically for those who are trying to push the government, that's trying to push euthanizing those who are diagnosed with terminal illnesses. She's obviously been someone exposing all of this and will be joining us to discuss the latest, because New York has just become one of the many states now offering these services. And obviously this is inhumane, of course. We shouldn't be pushing this, but she's got the very latest on that, and it's been a fight, and she's been pushing for this all across Canada and now here in America as well. So we look forward to that discussion as well. We'll also be giving you an update regarding that Scottish girl with the axe. Now there's been an arrest in that case. It's what we were telling you about. Remember this girl? This brave, brave girl. Was tired of being a victim, was tired of being attacked, was tired of watching her sisters, or her sister, I should say, get attacked by predators. Well, there's more to the story. We always knew there was more to the story, and now we're learning more because there's just an arrest. Finally, there was just an arrest. I'll bring you those details in a bit as well. Plus, there's a good situation going on right now. We can actually break this down for you right now. Now, let's talk Second Amendment for a moment. Yesterday, Ed Martin, the pardon attorney for President Trump, put out a tweet. It was in response to a Todd Blanche tweet saying that at President Trump's direction, Americans will get back their Second Amendment rights from pardon office. Stay tuned. Now, I had the feeling that this had to do, and I verified it, with those nonviolent felons, ex-felons, those who have served their time. They want access to getting their firearms back, which I don't really object to. I honestly, I've become an absolutist at this point when it comes to the Second Amendment. And so if you're a nonviolent offender, then why not? Now, it depends, of course, what they consider to be nonviolent. But I guess given this administration, given Ed Martin, too, being in this, I have a good feeling that it's not going to be the Democrats' version of nonviolence. But they are looking to give them back their Second Amendment rights. And for someone who's, like, charged with, like, a finance crime, I don't have an issue with that. I don't. If you paid your dues, there should be a level of redemption. And I think it infringes when you pull these Second Amendment rights from these individuals. Now, again, I'm not talking about murderers. I don't even think they should ever be let out of prison. Rapists, no, those are the people you want to keep firearms away from, of course. And again, this has a lot to do with the executive order that was actually signed 1 year ago from yesterday, or I guess you should say Saturday. As many of you guys know, President Trump did sign an executive order on February 7, 2025, titled Protecting Second Amendment Rights. Now, he wanted to make sure that there were safeguards put into place if there was ever an infringement. Now, keep in mind, Pam Bondi's the one who's going to be heading all of this, and she was a big fan of red flag laws when she was Florida AG. But this executive order allowed that any potential infringements on the Second Amendment to be submitted to the DOJ within 30 days to eliminate or come up with a plan on how they were going to eliminate those infringements and protect the rights of law-abiding citizens. Now, again, keep in mind, that's also the setup that the DOJ now has over in Harmy Dillon's team, that little division that they have inside of the Civil Rights Division. Well, that's what they're doing there, too. So a bit of good news. We could always use good news. We got more good news, though, heading your way. I'll talk about Maha and the latest there. Folks, in the meantime, though, if you haven't done so already, head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. Why? We just launched our hydration packets. I keep talking about these. These are incredible. It's electrolytes. You should start off your day every day with these. It's about $1.25 a serving when you subscribe. That's the importance of subscribing. Plus, you also get a free welcome gift, which will include a hydration water bottle, and that is for free. Head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com and make sure you snag this. It's zero sugar, zero caffeine. This is going to give you your body the nutrients that you need to get rid of things like brain fog, to feel more energetic. This is how you should start your day every single day, by getting your electrolyte boost. Also, keep in mind, we have those incredible, I can't stop talking about it, those shots over at the Alex Jones store as well. When you pair both of these up, it's going to be incredible for you. But Mind Fuel Energy Shots are the ones you're going to want to add to your cart as well. No caffeine, all vitamins, and it gives you a boost that will carry you out throughout the entire day over at thealexjonesstore.com.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all here with us today. You guys know I'm like the queen of biometrics. So whenever I see a biometric grab, I'm on it. I just got a report in from The Verge, and this they just dropped a second ago. Ultimately, though, they're saying that this court will soon be requiring users to scan their faces so that they could verify whether or not you are of age. It's beginning apparently in March. All accounts will have a teen-appropriate experience by default if they're underage. And so it's their way of verifying whether or not you are who you say you are. Again, I mean, this court just seems to be like the big, it just seems to be just like a big pedo ring. And again, the company itself, it's massive. So I understand that it's a tough situation when it comes to patrolling what's being said on their platforms, what's being done and carried out on their platforms. It's a massive operation, and of course you can't sit there and hold every single thing to their, I mean, you can't say it's their fault sometimes, but what I will say here is that anytime they're asking for your biometrics, I always think the worst of the worst, and obviously this is a privacy violation, and it's a private company, so you never know what they're going to do with your biometrics once they get that. They could sell it. I mean, again, this court has not yet put out a statement regarding this. It's just a report coming out. I will reach out for comment, but I've reached out to them before. They don't respond. There's probably a lot here. I'd have to see the terms and conditions to see what's actually going on and if they're actually selling your biometrics after you confirm that information. Or where does it go? Does it go to a foreign country? Remember when Twitter was doing their biometric grab for those who are paid content contributors? That information was being shared with a company in Israel. Obviously, that's concerning. And so, again, the biometrics grab is never ending, and that is a new report dropping now. But folks, I want to get to some callers because we have a long list of people who are calling into the show. If you want to join, 877-789-2539 is the number to call. Let's start it off with Charlie in Tennessee. Charlie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brianna. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. I didn't know if you had any questions for me, but I kind of wanted to wonder why Trump just doesn't, you know, come clean and either start arresting people or just start releasing this stuff. But I think he's afraid it'll cause too much havoc, you know, financially and stuff, or he's covering for you know, you don't want the havoc. But like I was telling your guy on the phone, I'm almost sure Jeffrey Epstein was backstage during Miss America, but we were more like a rehearsal hall because that was happening down the street at the convention center. And I do remember him giving one of the girls the creeps. That would be Epstein. And the only other thing I remember about it is I asked one of the other stagehands, and they told me he was a financier. But he was around. They knew each other. And, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Charlie, that's the first time I've ever heard those accusations. I don't think I've ever, and I asked the guys in the control room, so they're going to look into it to see if they've ever heard that. I've never heard those claims being made before of Epstein being brought around.
Well, it's not really an accusation, but it's just, I mean, you got to understand the backstage vibe when people come through. Like I said, we were kind of a rehearsal hall, and during Miss America, we didn't do much. Sometimes as the week progressed, girls would come and rehearse stuff.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's this report.
It's kind of a quiet week.
Yeah, I have to see some evidence of it, Charlie. And given the fact that there's a ton of data, I just kind of don't want to put information out there that I can't independently. I mean, that's the reason why it's a new show. I mean, I want to make sure. Hold on one second. Please.
I understand.
No, hold on. You got to wait. We just listened to your take on all of this. I want to make sure, and again, this is Reuters fact-checking this allegation. Reuters coming out saying this is fake news. Now, I'm not an ally of Reuters, but I'll tell you that if Reuters has the opportunity to go after Trump and destroy him, they would utilize something like that. So, Charlie, I'm going to hold off on all of this until I see some physical evidence, and you're welcome to send it in if there's an actual piece of evidence, a photo of some sort. We welcome that. But again, a lot of this information is being circulated and trying to associate Trump with Epstein. And I have not yet seen any evidence of that. So I'm going to hold before I make any accusations that have not yet been proven. So thank you for calling in, Charlie. We appreciate it. But let's turn to Robert in Brooklyn. Robert, what's on your mind?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Well, in terms of the replacement immigration, there's a lot of talk about the illegal invaders. But there's not much talk about the fact that there's a war on Americans with traditional values. Now, to do that, they basically make it very hard to afford for families, American families, to have kids. There's a low birth rate because it's so unaffordable for many people, and also the indoctrination of the children of the next generation. Now, in terms of the indoctrination of the children, Republicans, they claim that they're in favor of school choice, school vouchers. I mean, if you're spending in New York City for a public school $30,000 for each student, well, parents should have the right to go to private school, religious or otherwise, and get $30,000. Alternative means to educate their children, not to be indoctrinated and go after them mutilated in the school system. And also, it has to be affordable. So there's all this talk about, you know, give credit to Trump, but at least he closed the border down. And now he has to try to get rid of 20 million invaders that just came in under Biden, never mind all the people who came before. But what about encouraging American people who are here, making it affordable and reasonable so that people get married and have kids, and doing something about the indoctrination, meaning you have to break out of the mold of the school system. And the other thing is, in general, the Republicans, they campaign as MAGA, and when they get in there, they don't govern as MAGA. For example, Trump, they don't appoint any of his people. He wants to appoint people in blue states, like in Virginia, he wanted to have the U.S. attorney. The Republicans wouldn't even give him a confirmation vote because, oh, it's a blue state. What do you mean by blue state? President Trump is the president of all 50 states. And they're not willing, and they don't give him recess appointments. His executive orders, many of them are very good, and they don't want to codify it. And even with the SAVE Act, or better yet, the SAVE America Act, which requires proof of citizenship and ID, they're going to, oh, everyone's in favor, but then it's not going to get through because of the filibuster. Now, I'm against doing away with the filibuster, but at least they should make a standing filibuster and try to get this thing through. We don't want excuses. We want them to have the House, they have the Senate. They're not going to probably have it much longer. Meanwhile, they have it, and they're squandering it because they're a bunch of fake frauds and phonies. They campaign as MAGA, but the most important thing is the American citizens. People, Americans, have to be encouraged to have children and to do something about this indoctrination, school choice, school vouchers.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, Robert, you're not going to get any pushback from me on that. I think it's really important and should be a top priority. And it's a great alternative because the public school system is an absolute cesspool. So I'm 100% on board with you, Robert. And we appreciate you calling in, of course. So thank you for that. No, he's right. He's right when it comes to that. Folks, I want to just give you like a little bit of an update. Remember when I broke that CBS News report to you where they are claiming that less than 14% of those who have been arrested by ICE in President Trump's first year in office had a violent record, a violent criminal record? Well, DHS actually just detailed for you what CBS is leaving out. And they have deemed, when it comes to violence, they deem these as actually nonviolent offenses. Maybe you at home disagree with this, but according to the stats that they didn't want to loop into this because they think this is nonviolent, that would be drug trafficking, the distribution of child pornography, burglary, fraud, DUI, embezzlement, soliciting a minor, human smuggling. Those are all nonviolent offenses. So isn't it convenient, right? They want to sit there and say, oh, how is human smuggling not a violent offense? Most of them aren't willing participants. Distribution of child pornography. I told you the left does this. They don't deem child pornography as a violent offense. In New York, they literally eliminated cash bail for those caught with child pornography. In fact, if you were caught in New York State when they first launched that criminal justice reform nonsense, they would actually give you a bench ticket, an appearance ticket to come back to court later, if you feel like it. You weren't even allowed to be brought in front of a judge. Doesn't matter how many files you had, they didn't want you arrested. So no surprise here that even the mainstream media is trying to particularly nitpick what stats, what crimes they deem as nonviolent. These people are sick. It actually enrages me because I don't want to share a country with these people. If you don't think that child pornography is a violent crime, we can't agree on anything at that point. There's no conversation that needs to be had. You are a horrific human being. All right, let's lighten the mood. Let's turn to Barbara in Pennsylvania. I hear you have something that you'd like to talk about in regards to Jeffrey Epstein, so welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Yeah, and I kind of agree with you on that last comment that you made. It's ridiculous. You know, we're 12-year-olds are now adults. It's insane. So I'm really upset that we have all of these people at the top that have clearly been linked to Epstein. You can look at the emails and read the emails for yourself. And even though there's a lot of things that are blacked out, you can tell that something clearly happened. And when you start looking at you start looking at people like Bill Gates and people at the top, I understand that you know, we have a lot of these people and we have their money tied up in tech, but we also have to understand that we were involved in government contracts with these people when they decided to act poorly and behave badly, representing as being, you know, somebody that's in business with us, that they should not have been acting in that manner. So, you know, we still have a certain amount of rights over things. And, you know, I think it's kind of interesting that BlackRock is in on everything, literally from every angle. So, you know, I think they would probably want to protect themselves in the best way possible. So I don't know why we just don't reclaim the copyright on everything that we've done as far as tech goes. Continue to run the companies, put these idiots in jail for what they've done. Take them out of these positions and not reward them with these great government contracts where they'll be able to go on and thrive forever and ever, you know, and always be able to afford to hire just the right people to never have to face any kind of heat for anything they ever do.
Yeah.
You know, isn't that the perfect setup? I mean, think about this. This is the eternal get out of jail free to do whatever you want to do. There are people that are missing children out there and they don't want to release anything. Well, how do you know if there's not a dead baby on the list that might like fit an MO of somebody's grandchild somewhere? How do you know? How do you know? We don't know, and we're never going to know. And now the idiot's back on the loose, and we're going to keep giving these people government contracts. These are the people that get these are the people that really get the ride. Let's talk about the ride, because it comes in all forms. These are the people that really get the ride off the government ticket, off the taxpayer money, that they get to make more money off of, by the way, endlessly.
Yeah.
Okay. So why aren't we going in and reclaiming our corporations and our trade secret that comes with that under our contract? Okay. You know, I don't care if BlackRock, you know, you might have a few people in there that might be needing to be looked at. Who knows? You know, but what's weird is when you have the same person that's, you know, you have the chicken guarding the hen house. We have the same people at BlackRock, and who do they take care of? They take care of every single country. They've got everybody's secrets. Who's the most dangerous person in the world right now? Huh? The person that holds everybody's secrets. Think about that. to give that person that much power. That's lunacy. So yeah. I don't know. I just look at this stuff all the time, and I think to myself, like, how are we allowing this to happen? How are we not like creating a petition or something, asking kindly, please get these people out of here? Okay, when you see something that has substance, and FBI says there's no substance, but then I've sat and I've read a lot of these emails. Well, it doesn't seem to be that way to me. I see a lot of substance in there, you know. And sure, some of it might just be like, you know, due to, you know, it might be just a term or whatever. But Pizzagate was real, you know. And now they're trying to brush everything under the carpet. Like, oh, no, it wasn't. It was just a hoax. I don't think so. By the way, Ghislaine Maxwell, with her last thing as far as withholding all of her information and trying to blackmail the court system with it, because that's, let's call it what it is,
yeah.
Okay? She's already in contempt of court because she's withholding information that is in connection to an investigation, and she's aware of it. So when you're doing that, you're impeding an investigation. Right there, she's in contempt. Bye-bye, any relief. How long do you want to sit there, Ms. Maxwell? Holy shit. Have we fallen upon stupid? I'm sorry. That's where I'm at with it.
Well, I mean, listen, you're like the millions of other Americans who are pissed off, tired of all of this, tired of being gaslit. I mean, the reality of it is we've been lied to for many, many years. And like you said, we're never really going to find out the truth. I know for a fact that when there was the shift, when Cash Patel and Dan Bongino took over the FBI, I know that they deleted things. And so I think the worst of the worst, you're not going to find any of these Epstein files. You know, when we go through all the information, this was a blackmail ring. And so they're not going to have the evidence that shows people's deepest, darkest secrets make its way to the surface through all of it. It's just not the case. It's just not the case. So I think a lot of it, and Barbara, thank you for calling into the program. We appreciate it. But I think a lot of it has been mass deleted, and that's the purpose in all of this. You know, early in the show, I told you guys I wanted to bring you an update in reference to that Scottish girl. As many of you guys remember, this was the young woman who last year was seen carrying an axe and a knife. Now, we all knew what this meant, but it was whether or not the government was actually going to get in line and actually look to protect these girls. But she was very, very upset. And there's only one reason why a girl her age would feel the need to carry these types of weapons, because predators, invaders have targeted them. And as a young girl, you're tired of being the victim. So you're going to save your family or to save your sisters. And it looks to be the case. According to several reports, there's been two individuals who have been arrested who apparently I've seen reports that they're gypsies, but these people are the ones who are on the receiving end, the ones who are filming this. According to the reports, that these individuals approached and followed four girls who were ages between 12 and 14. They apparently made sexual remarks towards these girls, seizing one of the girls and pushing her to the ground. That's what currently they're being accused of. I don't know what country these people come from. They're accused of trying to seize and pulling another girl's hair, dragging her to the ground and punching her on the head. Of course, their cameras didn't catch that, though, right? How convenient. This is why I always tell people, when you see footage, hold off for a second, because there's a reason why they're not putting it out there. This is another lie. This is another push. These girls were rounded up and targeted by the police. They were the victims, it sounds like. If these accusations are true, and of course, those cameras only roll when the girls are forced to defend themselves. Children, what would drive a young girl to carry an axe and to carry a knife with her? I'll tell you, predators. What have you done to your countries when you sit there and you look and you see all of these young, beautiful girls who have such a bright future ahead of them? Now they're at the point where they're carrying around butcher knives and they're carrying around axes. Why? Because you've brought in rapists to your country who are actively targeting these children. So again, it's just another case of, we knew they were lying to us. And that girl, not only is she a patriot, but when there's a moment for a women's rights movement, I want her the face of it. Like an actual women's rights movement. You know, the right to not have to feel like you're about to be sexually assaulted while walking down your own streets in your neighborhood. Like that kind of stuff. Not the left's way of the women's rights movement, which they think is killing babies. It's so frustrating, folks. All right, let's turn to Tom in Illinois. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling. What's going on?
I just had a couple points. First of all, I've been taking the methylene blue, and it's wonderful. I feel better. I'm an old man, but I feel a lot better, except I have one concern. When I micturate, it's green. I don't know if that's normal. Maybe ask Alex. He's a doctor. I'm not.
Anyway. Alex isn't a doctor, but I've got it right now in my cup. Is it the methylene blue? I mean, I'm drinking it right now. Mine's blue. My lipstick's on it.
No, I'm saying when I go to the bathroom, it's green.
Oh.
I don't know if that's normal. I guess blue and yellow does make green, but that's fine. I feel a lot better. Anyway.
Well, that's important. That's important. Yeah, no, green green is the result of blue and yellow.
Of course. Anyways, I was talking to Matt, I believe his name is, and I was asking if he's ever heard of SES, Senior Executive Services. It was started in 1979 during the Carter administration by a lady named Christine Mercy, okay? And it's all about the man in the middle. And what the government did, they hired, last time I checked, it was like 30,000 employees with the government that are SES employees. And they do really, really bad stuff. Her brother, his name is Field McConnell. He used to be an airline pilot, and he called her the most evil person on the planet for some reason. I have no idea. Anyways, I was telling Matt, I did my research a long time ago about this, and I just recently went back online to find it. It's basically been scrubbed from the internet. You can't find any information on it anymore. It's really, really strange. And also, like one more thing, they have a color, and it's dark purple or plum. And if you look back, go back to when Hillary gave her concession speech after 2016, she was wearing all purple, pretty much. And her husband, Bill, was wearing a plum-colored tie. So I think it was a signal to all those deep states. And I think they're a version of the deep state that hasn't been addressed yet. SES, look it up. And also, I believe that the reason they held off on this Epstein stuff for so long is because they had to let AI catch up. Because they can always take it to court and say, and you know, well, this is a fake video and it's plausible deniability and case dismissed. So that's why I think they've been dragging their feet for so long on this. Anyways, you guys are doing a great job. Keep up the good work. I love all you guys, and my blessings to all you guys. Be good.
Well, thank you, Tom. We appreciate it. Yeah, I'm looking it up right now to kind of figure it out. I was just wondering if there's any type of Doge association with them. And it looks like there might be, so I have to do some more digging on it. But just based on the AI response that I received, and I don't trust AI 100%, so I usually try to do some follow-up, but just in the speedy sense of all of this, I do see that they were affected by Doge potentially, so that could also be something, that they're restructuring, aiming to downsize the agency and cut costs. So that could possibly be that, but probably a little bit more digging into that I'd have to do. But Tom, we appreciate calling in, and thank you for everyone else who's called in so far. We're up against a hard out, and we do have a guest coming up in the next segment. So we'll go back taking calls throughout the week, though. So don't you worry if you're on hold. We'll love to have you back on, of course. So thank you for just that. I saw like a really interesting story, too. It was in regards to those we've deported. I'm trying to find it right now. Oh, actually, I teased and I didn't do it. Clip 11 I want to play for you. It's President Trump speaking about the post that everyone says is controversial. Take a listen.
No, I looked at it, I saw it, and I just looked at the first part. It was about voter fraud in someplace, Georgia. There was a lot of voter fraud, 2020 voter fraud, and I didn't see the whole thing. I guess during the end of it, there was some kind of a picture that people don't like. I wouldn't like it either, but I didn't see it. I looked at the first part, and it was really about voter fraud in and the machines, how crooked it is, how disgusting it is. Then I gave it to the people to generally they look at the whole thing, but I guess somebody didn't, and they posted, and we took it down, and we turned it, you know. But that was a voter fraud that nobody talks about. They don't like to talk about that post. We took it down as soon as we found out about it.
Okay, so it's a reasonable thing, right? You just saw the first couple of seconds. President of the United States moves on. He's talking about the Obamas who were featured in that clip as monkeys. I mean, whatever. Sadly, though, Tim Scott fell for it and said that praying it was fake because it was the most racist thing I've ever seen out of the White House. The president should remove it. Obviously, Tim Scott ain't rhino not. South Carolina's best being sent to D.C. All right, folks, don't go anywhere. More to discuss in just a bit. Stay put.
Unless you've been hiding under a rock, you've heard about methylene blue. Well, we have the best. 7 years ago, my medical doctor told me, get on any USP-grade methylene blue. Just buy it online. So I did. Really didn't feel anything. My wife felt some energy. I knew it was good for my mitochondria and cells and the telomeres and things, but I kind of forgot to take it because the results weren't that dramatic. Then my main sponsor, Bigley, almost a year ago, said, try this. We have true USP medical grade out of Florida. This company actually makes it for the medical system, but they're letting us buy it and put it out. Unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen. 15 minutes after I took it, I felt electricity through my hands and body, surging energy. It was actually kind of scary. Then it peaked at about an hour, and then no letdown. You can take this stuff and go to sleep. My workouts got better. My clarity, my focus, it's really been crazy. So, you know, the news and information we cover is super accurate. You know, the guests we have on have track records of being super accurate. I don't promote anything that isn't bona fide and real. So for all of you that have been on the fence out there, believe me, you're missing out if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com and get our Ultra Methylene Blue. It is simply insane. I've given it to almost every guest that's come in on the show. I forget sometimes. And every guest has had from dramatic to insanely incredible results while they're still on the air for an hour. So here's some excerpts of what they had to say about it. You took Methylene Blue about 30 minutes ago. Are you feeling it?
I think I am. I feel it in my head and neck, too. My brain's going really fast. I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it. Unlimited power! Ah! Ah! Yeah!
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With Methylene Blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
You totally feel the difference. I use the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it, you can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesstore.com, but we'll certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you can feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
Powered by Methylene Blue, Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com. Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VFM members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VFM membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're here with us today. Final hour of the show. A lot going on over here that we've been diving in and out of. But there's something that I want to make sure is on your radar. It's in regards to what the left likes to call, that they like to make it sound nice and fluffy, like they're just helping those who are diagnosed with terminal illness. They make it sound like it's a great thing, and they do their very best to not make it sound like what it really is. So when I break this latest story down for you guys all at home right now, I want to just do it from the angle of the latest individual to jump on board with this. This is the New York Governor, Kathy Hochul. She just recently signed a Medical Aid in Dying Act. Now, they like to say that they're trying to help those with terminal illness to end their own lives peacefully. They always make it sound like it's this humane thing that they're doing. Now, they say that they're only going to allow those who are mentally competent to make that decision for themselves to be euthanized. And they always make it sound extremely fluffy. Just from the press release alone, this is what they're detailing to you guys. They're saying that it's a mandatory 5-day waiting period after between writing and filling the prescription. They also require there to be a mental health evaluation by a psychiatrist as well. They also require a in-person physician to evaluate the patient as well. So they're claiming that this is all going to be done in a humane way. That's what the governor wants you to think. Now, obviously, this is something that's been going on for quite some time now. And I remember the last time I spoke to our next guest, we were talking about it in Canada. And she did warn me and she did tell me that, you know, it's not just going to happen in just Canada. This is going to trickle down to the United States. And so far, 13 states have jumped on board with this. The 14th, it's not a state, but D.C. is also looking to legalize this. And it's very, very concerning. Joining me to discuss is Kelsey Sheeran. As many of you guys know, she is the best-selling author, also an independent journalist who does an incredible job on Substack, breaking this all down. You can follow her on X. Kelsey Burns is where you could find her as well. I want to welcome you to the show. You know, the last time you and I spoke, I think it might have actually been like maybe 2 years ago. As crazy mm-hmm. as that is, you were predicting that this was going to be a massive issue in the United States as we were covering it in Canada. And lo and behold, I mean, we're talking 13 states that have now jumped on board with all of this. And when the left tells us about this program that they're always launching or how they're passing these pieces of legislation, they always make it sound like it's humane. But I know that's not the argument that you ever make. And you want to highlight the fact that this is the complete opposite of what they're trying to sell us. So I'll let you take it away from here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And thanks for connecting. It's been nice to watch your journey grow. So it's been pretty cool. So yeah, let's get right into it. America, I warned you. Yeah. Oh man, did we warn you years and years and years ago? You know, normally what we see in Canada is if we start to put in some draconian healthcare issues or laws, it trickles down to you in about 18 to 24 months. I spoke about this before because at the time, veterans in Canada were being illegally offered this as a treatment solution to post-traumatic stress disorder and traumatic brain injury. And I am a veteran who suffers from both of those. So when that happened, we started speaking about this because a friend of mine was offered and we started breaking the stories on these things. Now, the United States is important to pay attention to. So one slight correction, there is already, Washington DC is already legal. So there's 13 states and one jurisdiction that are currently allowing the MAID program in the United States. And they're doing it incredibly quietly. The same way that Canada rolled the program out with the death cult lobby, Dying with Dignity, who was lobbying the government to the tune of over $9 million. We just got their financials and it is nasty. You guys have another organization called Compassion and Choices, as well as a Dying with Dignity. And there are a ton of nonprofits in America that lobby your government to bring this into place. Now, the New York we knew was on its way. Kathy had brought this up several times now. We knew it was going to happen. It was the same sort of conversation around Delaware right after I did Jordan Peterson. They debated it on the floor saying, well, what about the drugs? How does the system actually work? And the thing we want to understand is these drugs are non-FDA approved for killing. And the United States government is allowing them to be utilized by your medical staff to provide death. Now, that's important to note because for several reasons, you guys really love the FDA down there. And normally, if it's not FDA approved, it cannot be utilized. But all of these drugs are being utilized for killing when not a single one of them has been tested for killing. Now, there are other states that are important to note, and most people will say these are all liberal issues. I caution you with that narrative because Montana Republicans voted for this as well, and now it is also legalized in Montana. I would also take a look at the way the United States is working around what's called Track 1. This narrative is incredibly important because you guys have the chance to hit the brakes, whereas we do not, as we are legalizing into the mentally ill starting in March of 2027. And right after that is already started the conversation around mature minors, which are children. We've heard that narrative with the LGBT community and the trans community, and that's how they got children able to get their breasts cut off. And we're now seeing that going down the same path with MAID. So the United States right now is track one only. That's important for several reasons. It is terminally ill only. Now, let me show you how they legalized in Canada and how they're about to do it with you and how they're going to make sure it keeps going. It never stops. Once you open the door to death, it will not stop. It is a great way for the governments to save money, to make money, by the way, and it is a great way for them to take your organs. And I am not joking. So track one, normally you guys have a 5-day waiting period. Ours used to have a waiting period, fun fact. Now you can be killed same day with track one, between 24 and 48 hours. They also used to say things like, you need a psychiatrist, you needed a certain type of doctor. You don't need a psych eval. You don't. You need two assessors that say to you that they believe you qualify to die. That's important because we're not looking at the biases of these doctors who are under CanMap. CanMap is the Canadian MAID assessors of practitioners. There are our lovely band of killers up here with over 1,800 practitioners in the country and roughly 300 of them doing the majority of the deaths. The reason we are the cautionary tale, and I'm so glad that you brought this up, is because we now are going into the spring of 2026 and we will have killed over 100,000 Canadians with this protocol since 2016 alone.
Okay, so my jaw just hit the ground on a lot of this, okay? And I was just
sorry.
I mean, this is all like, I didn't even know about Montana, and I was quickly doing research on Montana, and I found that that this has been going on actually for quite some time now. Didn't even know this. And it was based on a Supreme Court ruling back in 2009 in Montana, which is mind-blowing to me. So you just woke me up to that as well. And then obviously over 100,000 Canadians being killed this way is absolutely devastating. That number is just horrifying because, again, here in the United States, they make it seem like it's just people who are terminally ill. And I remember, I believe it was the last time we spoke too, there was that Canadian, I think she was a veteran, but she had requested some type of device so that she could be helped up to her steps because she was losing her movement and needed some assistance. And instead they responded by offering her the services of euthanizing her as if there was type of a benefit from that. So that was devastating in itself. So like you're highlighting in all of this, I mean, this expands, and my jaw hit the ground at the 100,000. That's why I'm trying to catch up with you now. But the FDA hasn't approved these drugs also has me angry right now because I can't even get ivermectin over the counter, even though here locally in Texas we've approved it. They won't let me get ivermectin without a script from a doctor. And even with that, there are pharmacies that will hold you up from getting that, which is insane. Mm-hmm. And then you hit the lobby groups, the lobbyists. Okay, explain this to me. Why the heck are there lobbyists out there lobbying for people to be able to kill themselves? I mean, it's just a big pharmaceutical thing that they're kind of advocating for, or is there something deeper here?
I think it's a lot deeper. And so just to highlight, that was Christine Gauthier. She's a friend of mine. She was an artillery gunner. She was injured in service. She was a Paralympian in the Invictus Games as well as the Paralympics. Incredible human. Yeah. Her and I just testified recently in the new suicide study. She still, by the way, is fighting to get a wheelchair and is suffering. It's insane. So when we're looking at the motive behind these things, we have to always go back to money. Everything always goes to money. So, but this isn't just a pharmaceutical play. This is so much deeper than that. You know, this is where the conspiratorial put my tinfoil hat on moment comes in, where I've said, you know, Bill Gates has had this conversation publicly now for multiple years saying that every hospital should have a death commission. Well, what do you think MAID assessors are? They are a death commission. They decide whether you live or you die. And if you have a doctor or a nurse practitioner who basically believes that this is the only solution to your suffering, this is all you're going to be offered. We know this because we had a case recently. I just spoke when I hosted Alex's show about Mrs. B. Mrs. B didn't want to die. She asked for palliative care. She asked for hospice. And those are very different than MAID. Let me make that very clear. Yes, there are drugs involved. Yes, there's sedation involved, but there is care and compassion and family and empathy when they walk you through the next ending of your life. Where MAID is a drug, and in America, they do it a little different than Canada. In America, they give you a cup and they fill it with poison. The poison that I just told you were non-FDA approved for killing, which, by the way, for those that love to squawk at me, are all available on PubMed under the medications and dosages of the MAID program. And just to let you know how sinister we are up here, the MAID practitioners are the ones who actually advised America on how to kill. They stated it very clearly. The difference between you is we give you a cup filled with poison. We set it in front of you, and then your doctor says, okay, I need you to drink it. The longest death we have on record right now is 137 hours in America. And the term terminally ill can be manipulated. And we know this because of a case out of Colorado. A young girl in her 20s, going into her 30s, battled anorexia her whole life. Now, anorexia is a mental health disorder. It affects the mind and the ability to ingest food and the control techniques that kind of go with that mental illness. It is not terminal. Let me make that abundantly clear. It is a non-terminal illness. There was a doctor in Colorado. I have such a hard time calling these people doctors.
Yeah.
There was a doctor in Colorado who made up a new term, which is not in the DSM-5, which is not a qualifying term, terminal anorexia. And she was then killed. So for us to say that this isn't going to change and verbiage won't change is a very, it's a false lie. We're narrative. We're telling ourselves. And then we have things like savings on healthcare. Now, I know America doesn't have socialized healthcare, and people say, you know, we wish we did. No, you don't. No, you do not. You would die on a waiting list like 20,000 Canadians do a year. But you do have different options. Now, a lot of these states, like I said, here's the kicker. You don't have a residency requirement, which means people can come from, say, more red states if they are more empathetic towards this ideology, and they can go be killed in, say, Oregon or New Mexico or New Jersey. And that's important to note because people will find access wherever access is. The other thing that's important is these drugs are public. You can find out what the kits look like. We had a gentleman, we had a murderer up here named Kenneth Law who got a hold of these drugs and were selling them online on Amazon. And it looks like he might get off on a technicality, and a bunch of people were killed across the globe. So what, America is down the slippery slope now with track one, saying it will only stay at terminally ill. And I am incredibly intentional when I say it doesn't stop there. You will move to track two, which is non-foreseeable death, which is people like myself with a physical ailment that is basically you're not going to die. It's irremediable or grievous, but you're not going to die from it. And then your secondary can be mental health. And then you will move into what we are moving into March, which is for mental illness only. So depressed people, people who have PTSD, people who have gone through loss in their life, they're going to be euthanized. Canada puts IVs in you, and the drug, the doctors push the drug and kill you, like the most prolific killer we have, Ellen Weeb, Stephanie Green. I have a list I'm compiling of all of these doctors because they all need their names said very publicly. But these people kill, you know, Stephanie Green's over 300. That doctor you're putting up right there, Ellen Weeb, she says 400. Fun fact for you, I was in a room in Salt Spring Island off of Vancouver when she admitted to a group of over 100 people that she's killed over 1,000 people alone. So to think about that, you know, in 2024, we had 16,499 deaths. And now we have the Ontario coroner report that's come out that you've seen recently circulating with Dr. Ramona Coella, who we just had on the Kelsey Sharon Perspective, breaking down the non-compliant deaths. We killed somebody for chemical sensitivity. Basically, she was allergic to her house. We couldn't get her better housing. We have a friend of ours, Roger Foley, in a London, Ontario hospital, who's offered MAID almost every day of his life just because he has a degenerative disorder because he can't get help. We have Kayla Pollock, who's she was a lovely individual. She's still alive, but she's a quadriplegic now due to the vax, and she's currently going through that. She's offered MAID all the time. And then we have the most recent case, which is Keanu. And Keanu was 26 years old with depression, and he had diabetes. And Ellen Weeb, that killer you just saw there, she MAID'd him on December 30th after he was qualified in 2022 by Dr. Tepper in MAID House. We have two facilities that only do killing, by the way. They're called MAID House, one in Victoria and one in Toronto. You have to laugh because this is so sick. And the mother MAID so much noise that the doctor said, fine, I won't kill him. And then Ellen Weeb got his hooks in him and killed him last year in December. So to say that this is going to stay as track one, Kathy knows this is a lie. That's Keanu right there. Everybody understands this is a lie. This is a bold face lie right to your face. Once we get something legalized, we can amend. And that is what the the lobby groups do. And this is why I've been trying to encourage the United States government and states to take a look at these lobby groups. They are fundraising to kill your citizens, and they are using non-FDA approved drugs through your medical system to euthanize and take off the face of the earth God-fearing Americans and convince them that death is the only solution instead of healthcare. And then there's the organs. That's a whole nother conversation.
Well, you know, we have like 8 minutes. So I definitely want to get to the organ part with you too. But I also want to say something that's crazy too. Like the FDA stuff is just so mind blowing to me, because when we have people here in this country who want to do, they're diagnosed with terminal illness here in the United States. We just had someone on last week to detail just that. He was actually diagnosed with a terminal brain cancer, and the access to get his hands on experimental treatment so that he could just try and fight for his life any way possible was so hard, only because he had a medical background was he able to get these group of doctors to let him partake in an experiment which has expanded the lifespan of his life. We can't even get people to allow these people into these programs, so it's really a key thing here in all of this. This is Mike Hughes, who we're working with to help him out, but Hugo, sorry, we'll be working with him to try to help him out. I'm trying to get the FDA on board with this, but he's someone who's trying to help others who are struggling as well. But Kelsey, I'll let you take it away from the organ part here, because we've covered the organ harvesting issues that we have here in the United States, but I know you have something else that you want to talk about on that angle as well.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. And I hate hearing that. You know, I try really hard to partner with people that can get medications and things. I partner with an American group, as well, where they can actually get ivermectin. So you and I will have a conversation about that after. But what I will say is that organs are no joke. This is not small. You've heard the conversations, you know, in China, you know, the Uyghurs in China have their organs taken all the time. This is why you can schedule an organ transplant in China next day for whatever organ you want. It's because they're readily available. Now, this is what's kind of happening in Canada. We have seen a spike in organ donation all of a sudden. I wonder why. And people can say, well, Kelsey, that's not true because the made drugs will actually break the organs down. Well, that's actually not factual at all, because what we do know about the made drugs is you can have your organs taken even if you are killed at home. They just transport you very quickly. Now, certain organs are not on the table once these drugs are pushed. Again, they're poisons. Let's be clear. These aren't like just for fun drugs. These aren't funsies. These are going to poison you to death, and they're going to eradicate your entire system. So you can't use the heart and the lungs, but you can use, you know, the liver, the kidneys, the eyes, the skin, and every body is worth a lot of money. Now, what's crazy is people say in Canada, that's not required to have made. Well, I'm holding up a lovely little sheet here in front of me that actually shows how a patient is coerced through the end of life. And it gets all the way down to the bottom where it talks about the retrieval, surgical retrieval of organs. Now, the reason I bring it up is because they have two pipelines, and both pipelines all lead to organs. So thank you. That's it right there. If you look at step number 6 at the very bottom, they all lead to organs. Now, that's important because I don't know if you saw recently in the past couple months, a Canadian heart made its way down to America. I've never seen that before publicly. And we are seeing that organs are worth a lot of money. And there's corruption, massive amounts of corruption in this. Dying with Dignity is one of the largest, most corrupt organizations we've seen. And they post their donors on their website because they're smart. And what I'll tell you about them is they work alongside Health Canada, CanMap, and the Canadian Blood Service. Now, the Canadian Blood Service holds shares in Dying with Dignity. That's terrifying because they are responsible for our plasma, our blood, and our organs. And now you used to only be able to bring up organ donation after somebody was approved for MAID. Now it's at the very forefront of the conversation. And this is why there's a new bill being brought forward by one of the MPs in Saskatchewan that's called Bill C-260. And it talks about MAID and coercion. Now, that was just tabled. It was a private member's bill this week. And it is talking about what's happening and how patients are being coerced into death and donating their organs. Now, in Canada, you are not a presumed organ donor unless you are in Nova Scotia. Then they make you a presumed organ donor unless you request otherwise. Now, I would encourage people to take a look at this, because what we do know right now is that if you are a presumed, they're going to take your organs. that's just the end of the conversation. But I have always been a fan of organ donation. I am not anymore because I do not know where they're going and I do not know what they are selling them for. And we have to be honest about this. It sounds disgusting and it sounds like a horror movie, but they are taking your organs and doing something with them. And those are worth a lot of money. And when you have Health Canada funding and sponsoring the CanMap Journal, and you have them then teaching all of the doctors the new protocols to kill people, and then the people sponsoring their events are the Canadian Blood Services, there is a massive conflict of interest going on in here because it saves the healthcare system billions of dollars if we kill you instead of heal you, and that's what's going to be happening with America. So we have to be like with an abundance of caution here. I've asked the legislators in Canada, is there an appetite to roll back MAID completely? And they have said to me that everyone they've polled says no. That's even more terrifying because our people are so drunk on the Kool-Aid and thinking that killing their grandmothers and their loved ones and now mature minors, which is not legal yet. Notice I said yet. But you have the College of Physicians suggesting we should be able to kill children 0 to 1 with when they are born with, say, spinal bifida or they're born with Down syndrome. You have them suggesting we murder children already. So we have gone so far off the slope. America can stop this right now. You guys have the right to stop this right now. But if you expand to the rest of your states, I promise you, you're going to be in the same path in the next few years. And when we look at 100,000 in Canada, it's going to make the American population look like pittance because you guys are so much larger than us. And I'm hopeful that at some point, somebody from the United States State Department, even the ones I've spoken with, others will reach out and say, how do we stop this? Because right now, if America doesn't stop this, 100,000 is nothing. You guys are looking at a mass genocide. I call this eugenics. So most people don't love that term, but it is the truth. This is a eugenics term. This is a eugenics program, and it will expand.
Yeah, well, that's what everyone's really afraid of, Kelsey. And you've called it before, and you were accurate when you told me that the last time we spoke. So I'm 100% on board with this is going to be a massive issue. And the organ part and all of this is just so infuriating. It's so infuriating. You know, we keep talking about it. I've had many guests on that I've spoken to in the past about the organ harvesting problem we have in this country. And sadly, I don't think our government's really interested in even entertaining the discussion. Human trafficking experts telling me that for so long, children were being kidnapped throughout the South American region, brought to Mexico, where their organs were harvested at veterinarian clinics in the middle of the night. And for some reason, our government just doesn't get on board. And if you're someone who maybe has access to the dark web, I don't recommend you do this. But if you really want to verify, which sadly I've done previously, they are selling these organs on the dark web. And it's absolutely gut-wrenching because, you know, we all know what this is. These are innocent victims who are losing their organs, losing their lives, and they're now being sold online. So it's a massive issue. Kelsey, I look forward to having you back on the program to detail all of this again for us because there's just so many layers to all of this. And I've learned so much from you, so I appreciate it. And I want to point our audience over to your Substack page as well. Let me spell it for you all at home in case you're audio only right now. Give it a look. It's K-E-L-S-I-S-H-E-R-E-N is where you could find her right now on Substack. You also do a great job over on X as well. And I tell everyone to give you a follow there. Kelsey Burns is where you can find her on X as well. Thank you for joining me. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you. And you're right. So it's not a victory lap, but you know, it gives you more credibility on this issue. And that's why it's an honor to have you on to detail just that. So thank you.
Well, thank you guys for having me and thank you for highlighting this issue. It's about time we wake up the rest of the world to what we're doing when our doctors are deciding instead of helping and healing and taking the oath, they will murder them. So we have an opportunity to make change. So thank you for having me, guys.
Yeah. And it's an important change that we do need. So thank you for that. Folks, it's so infuriating. It gets me so angry when we talk about these things because these people, these so-called experts that we have to trust, we can't question them. That's what they at least tell you to do. They do not have your best interest at heart, and that's the real devastating part in all of this. That's the real devastating part in all of this. Folks, I'll get to this briefly. There was a article up in Politico that gave me a good chuckle over the weekend. Democrats fear becoming a massive surveillance state. ICE's surveillance is concerning Democrats. The demands for body cameras. Oh, now they don't like cameras. Now they don't like surveillance. Critics fear that this could be used, this video could be used for facial recognition tools. Well, it sounds like they belong on InfoWars, those conspiracy theorists. All right, folks, that does it for me. The Alex Jones Show is next. In the meantime, though, head on over to the Alex Jones store.com. So many incredible items that you need to go head on over, especially the rolling sale. Lots of different discounts over at the alexjonesstore.com. If you haven't checked it out today, I highly recommend you do just that. That does it for me. I will see you here again tomorrow.
I'm jacked up on the meth lane. Blue is the best thing you guys have ever had.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
I do subscribe to the methylene blue. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the methylene blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the ultimate methylene blue. Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now.
I must say that it does a damn good job.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Powered by methylene blue, ultra methylene blue at the alexjonesstore.com.